Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, which one am I again?
R-Truth. Mm.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he laughs.
He does laugh. And other people's pain.
Mm-hmm.
We got like a billion and one things to talk about, so we'll be all killer and no filler here. Like, just the good stuff, right?
That's a stupid saying.
It'll be all stuff and no fluff.
Like your mom? I fill her with fluff.
She's been accused of being a fluffer before.
Right in her muff.
Oh,
till she's had enough.
Oh, and she left in a huff.
Tough.
Yeah.
Your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jim Ross.
Who?
He retired.
Oh, he retired, fired, retired.
Refied, tired, fired, yes.
Yes. Yeah, in case you haven't heard, and I think most of you obviously have, J.R. Jim Ross.
In case you've been living under a Dwayne Johnson.
Yes, living under a Dwayne Johnson. Like he was that day he got fired for.
He probably has liver disease.
Mm. Yeah, that Flair showed up drunk, and maybe he did too at the Take Two, WWE SK14 or whatever.
WWE and Grey Goose.
Yeah, this is largely the fallout from this. That especially Michelle Wilson, who is some sort of vice president with the company and somebody high up in the position,
marketing,
something like that, and Stephanie especially, were really really mad over how that went down, and they've been kind of being hints that they were going to be firing him here over the next little while. He even joked during the event.
Yeah.
One of us won't be here next year. And it sounded like he was joking about Flair, but he might have been joking about himself because of how it went. Everybody, like I said, from Take Two, really enjoyed it. WWE did not like how this was handled. Blamed Jim Ross, or did they? Or maybe it's just an excuse to get rid of him. They wanted to anyways.
Well, that could be. I mean, they've always wanted to. I think the bigger... The reason people ask Jim Ross all the time, why did you take that shit every time you come back and be embarrassed and da-da-da, and why do you put up with this bullshit? His answer is pretty simple and pretty logical in that they have a hell of a 401k retirement package.
Which presumably he'll get now.
Yeah, and they had medical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not cheap for him to go to those specialists about his Bell's palsy,
mm-hmm.
and under the medical benefits, that was all paid for. So it made sense for him to do it.
Yeah, to stay there.
But obviously now he's retired.
Yeah, he's retired.
Retired.
So a lot of people are pissed at the WWE for this. Jim Ross himself has written a blog saying, basically he had a good run there.
Yeah.
It lasted a long time. Don't cry for me, so I won't.
Argentina.
I don't plan to.
No, Jim Ross, again, the fact was, and to a lot of casual fans, maybe the fans that aren't necessarily listening to this, but a lot of casual fans, when you say Jim Ross, and they go on WWE.com and you hear Jim Ross is retired, a lot of them probably go, I thought he already did. Because he just wasn't around. They hauled him out at the same... They bring him out for the special, Raw 20 and
but they don't know if he's working in NXT or whatever, so they think he's an announcer only.
Exactly.
And he's retired. The thing is, he's 61 or 62. He's younger than Vince.
Yeah.
He's younger than Flair. He's all this stuff. He's at 61 and 62, he's got between 10 and 20 years he could actually contribute to either the wrestling... or announcing positions.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to do something else. I could easily see him calling mixed martial arts or something like that. Semi-pro football, something like that if he wants to.
Has he not called mixed martial arts before?
I think he had one guest appearance. I think so, yeah.
I think he did a show, in and around the time they brought Joey Styles in, when they were going to bring Mike Goldberg in.
Yeah.
I think when he was gone that one time that JR did.
Yeah. He's a fan of the UFC, he's mentioned, so.
Oh, yeah, MMA, he's a tremendous fan of his idol growing up was Danny Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get more mixed martial arts than Danny Hodge.
No, Danny Hodge, if you're not familiar with him, was one of the greatest amateur-style wrestling superstars America's ever produced, and a light heavyweight professional wrestler.
And out of Oklahoma.
And out of Oklahoma, yeah.
So,
very well respected, so... Yeah,
that, I mean, in amateur wrestling, NCAA college wrestler, the wrestler of the year is called the Danny Hodge Award.
In the history of wrestling, he's one of the few light heavyweights who was a good draw in North America, consistently. So, for many, many years, even though, you know, usually it has always been a big man game, he was a good draw.
Right. Danny Hodge was good for business.
Good for business. And, you know, like I say, I mean, they're not going to call it the Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, by the way, I don't know if you heard.
Right.
I got a news break, though.
Okay.
Do you see this?
No.
He's out of rehab.
Kurt Angle's out of rehab?
Yeah.
Didn't he just go in rehab?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago or something. 2 weeks, I mean.
Yeah. Out of rehab.
He's out of rehab already.
Okay. Good for Kurt.
Yeah. Hope it goes well for him. Usually the first one doesn't stick and seem fast, but you know, I mean, maybe apparently he said it's the hardest thing he ever did, and so he's good for Kurt.
Your mom said that about me.
Good for business?
Hardest thing she ever did.
So anyways, JR.
Yeah, it's okay. So Jim Ross, I mean, he listen, a lot of people largely would have thought that he'd already had retired. I mean, again, don't know about the NXT. He was pretty hands-on helping Triple H get that Full Sail and that NXT program
running. I
think
this was one of those things that Triple H kind of had to acquiesce on. And
this was Vince's call completely.
Yeah. And Stephanie, like you say, also didn't want to. Vince is, I mean, we talk about their storyline right now is the Vince McMahon family there. The McMahon family has never liked the Rhodes.
Yeah.
And there's some element of truth to that. There's been some, you know, moments of heat definitely between them.
Yeah.
But Vince has never liked JR. And either on speculation or on fact, mention which it is, kind of explain that to everybody if they don't get it. Because I think a lot of people will go, why the fuck wouldn't you like JR?
They don't
like a valuable asset.
Vince is, I'll try to nutshell this as best as I can without sounding like Sigmund Freud. But the reality is Vince McMahon Jr. didn't really know Vince Sr., growing up. And him and his mom lived in a trailer park in Carolina. South. And so Vince McMahon really is a southern boy, growing up. Hated it. Rebelled against it. Went up to New York with his dad. You know, became this Yankee tycoon.
The old man after school. Yeah.
And he's always hated the South and that Southern draw and that Southern. And doesn't think it's professional. And that's when JR is a cowboy from Oklahoma. And that's exactly what Vince does not want.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about people talking about Jim Ross is the greatest announcer of all time, and why can't. You know, now, when they're away, Michael Cole isn't like him, and King is different, and J-Bell. But that is because that's not what Vince wants.
Yeah.
You know, and Vince, you know, used to do the thing, Girl Monsoon, and even got Tony Schiavone in there for a little while, like all that. Jim Ross really flourished at a time where Vince had no choice, and Vince was in that war and strapped for cash and couldn't do it, right?
The ratings are getting so high, you can't deny him. Right.
Well, but even to stick with them back in that, like, 97, 98 era when things were starting to move up and Vince was pulling away so he could be on camera, Jim Ross is all they had and really all that, I would say, they could afford, you know. And he was very key at the time, and his stock was at a Vince is it. I mean, we talk about bad for business. And Vince has always, rightly or wrongly, done or had a history of doing, if he didn't like a guy, doing what's right for business in terms
of the time.
He kept Jim Ross around most of the time. He's not perfect, but, I mean, he kept Jim Ross around when he really didn't like him, since I don't think he's ever really liked that Southern draw accent on TV.
Never liked the Southern draw.
Because Jim Ross was bringing in Mankind and Kurt Angle and Steve Austin and The Rock. Well, Pat Patterson, The Rock came to them, but you know, he brought in these guys, and you know, and then he had the program in place that brought us John Cena and Batista, and you know, and all those Randy Orton and all the next level stars. that come in, and then once he stepped away from that, of course they'd never been the same. You know, Lauren, it was that idiot era of Laurinaitis and Stephanie that did nothing and just stagnated the company for 10 years. But Jim Ross was good for his business, but he was an announcer, so he kind of, you know, acquiesced to the one in order for the other to happen.
You do,
right?
You know, talent acquisitions, you do payouts and all these things.
Edge and Christian, and I remember those Dory Funk Funking JoJo camps that had Edge and Christian and Test and A-Train and all these guys in one camp.
Yeah.
You know.
Another thing, a few other things. I mean, you're right. It's the Southern stuff, and Vince McMahon is a Southern boy and hates that. You're right. That's part of it. He doesn't like the drawl. You know, you've heard him say he wants good-looking people on TV, and he does.
Yeah, like Michael Cole.
Yeah, and you know, he wants the younger people. He does say that, but
like
a lot of it is that Southern wrestling. He really finds it. Another thing, though, is Jim Ross, for as lovable as he seems on camera, is not known to be so lovable backstage. He's kind of a bit of a bastard. Well, I was going to say a badger, but he's a bit ornery.
And Vince don't need no stinking badgers.
Well, the thing is, nicely done. But the thing is, Vince, yes, he loves his Yes Men. They joked about the Stooges and they made them an angle, but there's something to that.
Oh, there is.
Vince has always loved having an ass kiss.
And he loves the Yes Men. That's why he pushed Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's one of the reasons why actually John Laurinaitis was so successful. He was the Yes Man. He was an ass kisser.
Yes, and more importantly, he got in and kissed Stephanie's ass.
Yeah,
and
she liked it too.
Time, right?
She liked it too. But it is true. Vince and JR's never kissed his ass.
No,
JR's not an ass kisser. JR's a kind of an ordinary guy. He's got a really bad temper. He's a gruff guy and not the most refined guy and everything. Yeah, that's part of it. He's not kissed Vince's ass, and he's not an image he's wanted to put up that way.
Just because we're recording this show, I'm going to read this text I got from our friend Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Did Ric Flair get gassed before SummerSlam? Is that why Jim Ross is retiring?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, Jim Ross shows up to that thing, and he's like, oh, I don't need a script to tell me how to introduce this guy or any of these guys.
Yeah.
He joked about the Gatorade and whether or not it was really, was it Gatorade or Snapple, actually?
Snapple. This is Snapple for anybody asking, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he did himself any favors in those ways, but it's really not that big a deal. A lot of it really is that he wanted to ask kicks, and also, Jim Ross is, like, Vince, at the end of the day, has always wanted to be loved. I mean, look at the angle with Bret Hart and how he thought he'd come out of that a huge baby face.
Yes.
He wants to be loved. He's not loved. He's respected. When he comes out and the crowd stands up and gives him a cheers for him and claps for him, or even they say thank you, Vince, it's not a love. He's not loved. He's respected.
Yes.
JR is loved. And people say JR.
And respected.
And respected. JR is loved and respected. And people say he's the best announcer ever. And Vince's insecurities, and everything plays into some of this too. He doesn't like that. JR kind of has what he's always wanted.
I think look at it this way too.
PSR.
I mean, 1 year ago, exactly a year ago, you know, Jerry Lawler has a heart attack on Raw.
Yeah.
Right? And who do they bring in? Who's the first person that they call? Who's the first guy on Raw the next week to make things good?
JR.
Who
else could it be?
Right? It good old JR. They didn't have anybody else. Josh Matthews ain't coming in.
No.
You know what I mean?
Booker T.
Well, they could have. But, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
JR, now, because they always had that ace in up their sleeve, that we could bring JR back if something happens. They don't have that now.
No.
And so they've lost a hell of a cushion.
Yes.
And I guess the question now that he's gone is, where do you think he goes from here?
Like I said, I could see. I mean, he had said recently he didn't see himself retiring. He has been doing tours where he's talking, doing like a couple
speaking
hours
stuff.
Speaking
yeah.
stuff. And I'd love it if he came here. Just be authentic.
No kidding.
But he's. Yeah, I mean, I could see semi-pro football. I could see if he doesn't want to retire. I don't see TNA. The time for him to go to TNA was 3 years ago. Now it's 3 years later. They're that much more dead in the water. They're that much. Their guys are that much older.
The
they're,
fact that they let him go tells you everything WWE thinks about TNA.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If he goes, great. But I mean, they're willing to take the risk that they can't. You can't spend
the
money on
him there. Like I said, I could see him. He's probably going to do the speaking tours. He's probably going to write a book. It'd probably be amazing. He's probably going to do, like I say, maybe
shoot interviews.
MMA, shoot interviews, MMA autograph signings. These things will keep him busy for a couple of years, you know, maybe semi-pro football. But I don't see him. I mean, the question is if they ever get that network off the ground, and I don't think they will.
No.
You know, do they? Is that when we see him back in the WWE?
Well, he just did the voiceover. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, Jesse, the first person that Jim Ross should actually call now that he's quote-unquote retired is Jesse the Body Ventura.
True.
And thank him for winning that lawsuit to give those announcers a cut of the royalties for every videotape and DVD and Blu-ray that WWE is ever going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, look at the Mid-South that just come out. We haven't seen it yet, but it just came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at every match that they've really done in the last...
He really metamorphosized the business.
He morphosized the business beyond all recognition.
Morphosized or metamorphosized?
Morphosized.
Oh, I didn't want to make up a new word.
Oh. Sorry, Tully. But he... but, I mean, he's going to get paid...
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Basically every DVD that ever comes out in the next, like,
yeah.
10 years.
Yeah, he'll get residuals.
So,
for whatever that's worth, I'm sure it'll be enough.
But the fact is that he's on everything. If he was just on one, that's one thing. He's on everything.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
True. So that is, that's good for him.
Good
besides,
for his
that's
business.
Kind of what I figured. That's good for business.
Good
no,
for
so,
him.
Yeah, I don't see him going to TNA if that's what you're thinking. And like I say, if they do want to bring him back because all of a sudden they get this network going and they need... Because really the only guy to fill the role that he would have done in that network now...
Mean Gene.
Is Mean Gene, who's, you know, 80, I think.
I think he's 80 and I think he's had 8 livers.
yeah, so... Not his liver spot.
What about his dog spot?
Anyways...
Jim Ross could fill his spot.
But the thing is, if they came to him and they got that off the ground and they didn't have anybody to do that and they're desperate, I think he should either put the screws to them and get as huge a contract as he wants because they'd be desperate perhaps, or tell them to go blow themselves.
Oh, I think he should tell them to go soffit.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously, blow a goat or soffit or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, yeah, you're going to be fucking sorry. Now what are you going to do?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's... Yeah,
let's talk about one of the things. Number one, he couldn't control Flair there, but could anybody have?
No.
Like, do you blame him for that? Are they right? Do they have any leg to stand on for this? Or like we say, is it really the other bullshit?
I think it's the other bullshit. I mean, they don't really need a reason, to be honest. I mean, they can just, this isn't working out, we don't need you anymore, goodbye, right? And that's essentially what it is. Because this whole symposium deal, where he's out there, I mean, the only thing they could get him for is, he cursed. I think he said shit, like what, like 10 times?
Well, I mean, I think JR said it like 3 times, and I think Ric Flair said it about a dozen. Yeah.
They're still not. I mean, goddammit, they're still not happy with Flair either. I mean,
no.
Flair's probably. I mean, if this is what they've done to JR, think about what they're doing to Flair.
Well, they've locked him out of his chance again to once again be an ambassador for them, and you know his SummerSlam appearance and such, and a lot of it is apparently that they're upset that he brought up that his son Reed had died.
Yeah.
When they're there to sell a video game, they wanted a very positive atmosphere.
Yeah.
Then that gets brought up, but he did bring it up saying that this is the kind of thing WWE did to me.
He brought it up in a very positive way. I mean, and that got the biggest ovation, I think, of the symposium.
Yeah.
You know, but...
It's just that somebody like Stephanie has never actually existed in a real world, so she doesn't understand how it works.
Well,
she's not a real human being, Stephanie.
Well, they're in the bubble.
She's more of a blimp.
Yeah. Helium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
hot air for sure.
Well, okay, well now, with the departure of JR, I guess, do you think this is it for JR? Or do you think he'll be back? Because, I mean, this is what?
I think he tells him to go blow. What's the odds of him getting it back? 50-50.
Yeah. Yes or no?
Yeah, 50-50, yes or no.
He will or he won't? Good call.
No, seriously, that's it, though.
No, it really is.
Really.
What do you think, looking back then, what is your favorite Jim Ross moment or moments,
I
guess?
I mean, that's not so easy. Huh.
I mean, there's the iconic, I think, when you say...
The first quote that comes to mind is, "As God is my witness, he's broken in half.
Or Stone Cold, and even it would be the Royal Rumble one where he goes, Stone Cold is going to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that the Austin the era begins.
The Austin era has begun, and you always hear the quote, "Nobody has ever outdone Shawn Michaels in a big match environment."
Yeah.
That's the other...
Yeah, you say to me the first quote that comes to mind from him is that. But, I mean, there's a lot
good
of...
Good God Almighty, they've killed him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But there really is. Yeah, I mean, my God, he's smiling. You know, like a lot of these little things. The promo he cut when he shot on Vince that time, when just before he brings in the fake Diesel.
Razor and Diesel, yeah.
Diesel. I love that promo.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I only have loyalty to good old JR.
Yeah. I remember I was thinking to myself, I mean, it's just a few months ago there, about 6 months ago, that Vince did the whole thing where he was doing an imitation of JR's backstage where he's doing the Bill's palsy face.
Oh, yeah, wearing the hat. Yeah.
Do you really think that he saw the Oklahoma character in WCW and thought, fuck, I wish we'd done that first?
No.
No? Are you sure?
No, yeah. Vince McMahon never saw WCW then.
Oh, good point.
I mean, there's no way.
No, but you know what I mean? Did he hear about this and think, I wish we had done that to Jared?
No, because who would have told him? Again, he lives in a very sheltered bubble. Yeah. And they're not going to go and act like marks and be like, you should have seen
I think he might have been following WCW fairly closely, but who knows?
In 1999,
no. Point. Yeah.
He had the XFL to launch. I mean, he had all that shit around there to do, you know? He didn't
have... also sleeps 1.5 hour a day.
This is true, but I will guarantee you that no time in that 23 and a half hours is spent watching WCW.
He wasn't a fan of Thunder?
I know, right? Conan against Bam Bam Bigelow?
So As God Is My Witness, there was that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the little quotes, like I say, I love the one he did at WrestleMania 20 for the main event between Benoit, Michaels and Triple H.
And Triple H.
Gordon totally had that
The I quit.
The I quit. It was,
you know, five letters, two words.
Yeah, two words. I quit. Something like that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what JR tried to do. That simply just paint it and make it dramatic. He knew when to lay off the mic. He knew when not to. He knew when to say something like, "This is surreal," or "I've never seen anything like this," and make you believe that he'd never seen anything like this, or that it was surreal, and you felt it.
Yeah.
Like I said, the quote of WrestleMania 20 was with Benoit Michaels, was, "Benoit wants the title. Michaels needs the title. But I don't know if anybody wants or needs the title more than Triple H."
Yeah.
And that was just, like, that got across the...
Well, that was a shoot.
But it got across the weight of the match. Like, it's that type of thing. I think that might be my favorite JR quote.
I think my favorite JR quote is one of the Royal Rumbles, I think. It must have been one of the Royal Rumbles, because he said, 30 men will enter my ass.
Seriously, what are your favorites?
No, it is Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's going to WrestleMania.
The boyhood dream.
Well, that's Vince? That's Vince,
But,
I mean,
better for JR said it would have been better.
Well, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, and you think of him debuting WrestleMania 9 in a toga.
Oh, God.
You know.
Which was part of that promo he cut that we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. That,
and that's one of my favorites as well, that Jay. We do a promo show that should be included.
That would be,
actually,
yeah, yeah. A great one.
To do it. But, you know, just, I'm trying to even think of, again, it was, you know, we had the JR-isms, you know, running like a scalded dog. you know, whipped like a government mule. Mm-hmm. You know, all
stuff
of those.
Stomp a mud hole in his ass.
Yeah, stomp a mud hole, walk him dry.
Kicking
contest. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that was more for Zach Gallen. But, I mean, it was, you know, he had a lot of good. But he also had his downtime, too. I mean, you think of that 2003 kind of era when SmackDown was really doing well. And Raw was really shitty, and they were having that shit with Coach and Al Snow, and
yeah.
You know, they're, you know, again, not involved in great stuff there. But I mean, I look
the
at
thing
even
is, though, it's like, when have you enjoyed Jerry Lawler? Probably because he's playing off of the great JR.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like without like JR is great with or without Lawler. Lawler's not nearly as great unless he's with JR.
One of my favorite calls was actually it was JR and Jesse Ventura. From that Beach Blast 92,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat in the 30-minute Ironman match
yeah.
was great.
Yeah.
And again, Jesse and you know, Jesse always had that great, except for with Vince McMahon. He was always the heel, but he wasn't that adversarial, arguing heel with the babyface thing. They both would have, you know, respectable points. It's just, you know, Jesse would be clearly favoring Rick Rude, say.
Yeah, that's
and
yeah.
So that was, but Jim Ross was really good in that match as well. But I mean, you name some shows that he's done or called. He's heads and tails better than anyone else there's ever been.
I remember listening to his interview on the Steve Austin show.
Yeah,
and he's talking about how when he first started, he would say something and he would say a move and he wouldn't give it enough weight, or he would talk when he should have shut up, and how when he'd get to the back, he'd be told to watch the match, watch it with Bill Watts again, and be yelled at, and be, you know, and but this got across to him an understanding of an announcer's role that nobody has today.
No, because you're not supposed to call the moves.
No,
you're supposed to tell the story,
and he gets it better than anybody else ever.
Well, and the thing with Jim Ross is that, and what he had was. He's kind of that cross between Soli and Vince. As opposite as those two are,
yeah.
He had the ability to tell the story and call the match like Soli,
mm-hmm.
but he had the enthusiasm that Vince McMahon brought.
Yeah.
And that's something that Michael Cole definitely doesn't have.
Yeah.
I think the only guy that I see have it right now is JBL, that is able to... I don't know, maybe it's because of his voice or what it is.
I mean, JBL reminds me more of Jesse.
Well, yeah, but he's got the enthusiasm.
He does love
and
that,
he's
yeah.
the only one that has yeah. that unbridled, does not
well,
seem
Well, here's the thing. When he's
enthusiasm.
Seeing something, the difference between JBL and Cole is, when he's seeing something, he's thinking, this is how I'm supposed to react.
Yeah.
When JBL's seeing something, he's going, I'm reacting like this because this is...
Yeah, because I like this.
This is what it's supposed to be. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is... I know what this is. And
yeah.
I'm reacting the right way. Instead of, I hope I'm reacting the right way because this is what I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Unless you call him out, AJ Lee.
Yes.
Don't you watch the product?
I didn't see this last Monday.
Oh.
I know she said she was pissed and they got mad at her, but it's a PG show.
Oh, yeah, but then... But,
I was watching Monday Night Football.
But
don't say I'm not dedicated. I'm not watching the Jets and Patriots right now. I'm here doing this.
Lawler, asked her a question. I don't even remember what the question was. And she just goes, don't you watch the product?
That's awesome.
And then all three announcers ganged up on her.
Really?
And she has a tattoo on her neck, AJ, of the date that she won the Divas title.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, JBL was on her, like, Mark Markerson for that.
That's awesome.
That was pretty good. Yeah. You know, and it was a Divas match in the ring.
I don't care, though, because I mean, AJ did cut that one good promo, but I don't like her. You know, it's ugly and... I mean, I'd bang her.
Yeah,
but
of course she would. Night of Champions. Anyway, to Jim Ross, I don't know if there's much more to kind of say about Jim Ross. I mean, he'll be missed. He may resurface again, you know, one day and again. But, you know... It's one of those. He's had a great career.
Yeah.
If he does, I can't see him doing anything else on a major league deal in wrestling.
No.
I can see him said the shoot interviews.
I think it's more about his book, really.
Yeah, but the book will, he'll do the interviews to promote the book.
Exactly.
You know, and so that'll be good.
But not want to give away too much, that's the thing, right?
Well, yeah.
It's a careful line.
It's, yeah.
So.
But anyway.
But yeah, I mean, he's been around for 40 years. He's,
yeah, he's got a few stories.
Maybe one.
You know.
But yeah, Nate, I mean, I wonder how he feels about all this. And I'm actually wondering if we should call him and check.
Why don't we just call him?
Should we just check?
What's his phone number? We'll call him.
Just 1 second.
Check.
Okay, I'll get him on. It's long distance, excuse me.
In China?
Hello, Nate.
Woo! Mo! Woo! Is that you, Mo?
You know, it's me, huh?
Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
Mo.
It's Mo, right?
Yeah, it's Mo.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
Woo!
Right?
This is the Nate. Woo! Boy.
So,
right?
Right. So, Jim Ross, the symposium, and there's some fallout from it. I don't know if you heard.
Mo!
Yeah?
Mo!
Yeah?
Woo!
Yeah?
And then a symposium.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Again, it's at the symposium, right? And it was for the 2K woo! Video game, right? And I was drinking, right?
What?
Woo!
What?
I was the Nate. Boy.
Woo!
Right?
Yeah.
And so, woo! So I'm asking these, JR's there, right?
JR's there?
And he's,
right?
He's the moderator, right? And he starts asking these questions, right? And I start talking. Oh, my son Reed.
Woo!
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's dead, right?
What?
Heroin overdose, right?
Woo!
Boy!
Oh my god.
And we're trying to get it out of your time.
Woo!
And now I find out, woo! Jim Ross, he's been fired, right?
Right.
He retired, right?
Right.
Fired, right?
Right.
He said, fire me! I'm already fired!
Right?
Fire me! I'm already fired!
Right.
Right? That's what he said.
He retired,
right?
Though.
He retired, right?
He wasn't fired.
You know what? I feel bad.
Woo!
I called him.
Oh, did you?
Woo! I call him, right?
Yeah.
And the first person I talked to, his wife.
Mm.
Such a great lady.
Oh, yeah.
She needs to go to Lens Crafters.
Oh, yeah?
But what a great lady. I mean, Nature Boy, in his prime, are you kidding me? Jim Ross? And she picked Jim Ross?
Oh,
I must have looked rough that day.
She could have had either one of you?
She could have had either one of us? I must have looked rough that day.
You must have, right?
She's the greatest.
So you guys were drinking. Who paid your bar tab?
The Miz.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
So, are you feel bad about what happened?
I do that, right? I call him, right?
Oh, right, right.
He's retired.
Woo!
And he may have to move, right?
Yeah.
He said he may have to sell his house.
Yeah.
I said, Jim, what do you do? Is it you retired? You had that big, great house. He goes, what do you plan on doing? He looks at me. He talks to me on the phone. I'll move.
Harley. Oh my god.
If you know Harley, right? Then you know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
I'll move.
Oh, that's what happened. Oh, I know.
I'll move. All right, guys, Mo, Nature Boy, I hate to interrupt you guys. It was a great conversation, but we did get a little bit of breaking news. I just wanted to mention, call you, tell you, or break in here. Kurt Angle, back in rehab.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just there. Sorry, continue on your conversation. Woo!
No, that's... What do you...
Oh!
Yeah?
Woo!
What do you think that means when... What do you think Kurt Angle said when he had to go back to rehab?
He's rehab, right?
Yeah.
He's got it. He looked at me. He called me, asked me about going back to rehab, right?
Yeah.
He says, he goes, well, what does that mean? I said, well, what does that mean to you? He goes, I'll move. And you know Kurt, right? You know Kurt, right?
Yeah, I know Kurt. I know Kurt.
You think you know Kurt?
I know Kurt.
You don't know Kurt.
I don't, what? No, no.
You know Kurt. You see Kurt? You don't know Kurt.
But we've driven together.
I'll move.
All right, well, Nate, anything last thing you want to say? I mean, it's old JR, right?
Poor JR. Love JR. Cheers to JR. I got my Grey Goose. JR, cheers. I'll move. Woo, Mo! I'll let you go. Woo!
The Nate's always a party, Addy.
He's just styling and profiling.
All right. So what else we got here? I guess Raw. You tell me about it and building it to Night of Champions.
Oh, yes.
Which I am not excited for.
Well, the thing was, I have curiosity.
Didn't that kill
Miss Kitty?
Yeah, Miss Kitty.
Yeah,
right?
Stacey Carter.
Yeah.
Killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she had a heart attack. But, I mean, you go, a couple things on Raw. What?
It's a heart attack. That didn't actually happen. That's just Kazarni.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Kazarni.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's a name out of the past.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about worst gimmicks.
All right, anyways.
I'm looking at Raw. Toronto crowd was great. Very lively. Helped make the show. But I thought they did a very good job. In terms of the show itself. And I'll get into a little bit of things that I thought were right and wrong. But I mean, show opens with Edge.
Yeah.
To again a massive pop. Back in his hometown, back on Raw. Good to see Edge.
I gave your mom a massive pop.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
With the Edge.
Yeah.
Good to see Edge on Raw.
Yeah.
I gave your mom the Raw Edge actually. But good to see. Cut a good promo. Talked about how he wanted to be reunited with his former tag team partner. He had to figure that was Christian. It was supposed to be Randy Orton and rated RKO. But he decided to bring out Daniel Bryan anyway. So they went along and they talked about how, there's some similarities here. You scraped and clawed and you love this and da-da-da-da. So they did a good back and forth for it. Daniel Bryan was over like a motherfucker. Now, this crowd was great for everything, but they were elevated. I mean, it was like if they were going to give everybody a pop, they gave him the mega pop.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan definitely the biggest star in the show.
Really?
Huh, with those little diamond things that you get from the store, those blow pops.
Yeah, those ones that pop in your mouth.
Yeah, not in your hands.
Yeah, popped in her mouth.
But, I think that, is it the rock candies? Pop rocks?
Pop rocks.
But,
have you ever gotten a blowjob with one of those in this girl's mouth?
Why?
It actually hurts.
Really? I would have thought it would be great.
I thought so, too.
Well, yeah, you would have been like, you're like, candy and a blowjob? Was it the dick in your mouth that hurt the most, though? Daniel Bryan.
Darren Young's doing great, by the way.
He is. He's on Ellen tomorrow. Great deal with Daniel Bryan. Anyway, and then Triple H come out, and Triple H and Edge had a great back and forth segment. Edge did really well on the segment. They beat up Christian, of course, and that backstage Phantom beat up because he has a concussion, and so that that ended the angle. But that was a good angle. They had, I won't go segment by segment at all, but Paul Heyman, come out.
Like Darren Young?
Curtis Axel, yeah. Curtis Axel got disqualified for beating the fuck out of Kofi too much.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Heyman's going to...
You know what? The last thing you want to do during a wrestling match is beat the fuck out of your
opponent. I know.
That's an awful thing to do.
But Heyman's going, if you do that on Sunday, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Because then it's me alone. So, Jesus Christ. So you could see Heyman just kind of going like, Jesus Christ. So then Heyman again fakes an injury. Phantom slips on some water backstage. Says, oh, I got to go to the doctor. And then he's like, we'll get it checked out. He's like, oh, I got my own doctor. And then he goes to the ring and talks about how he brings his own doctor because he doesn't like the Canadian socialized medicine system. he should have mentioned Brock.
Yeah.
He really should have said, my client advised me.
Yes, because he had the tuberculosis or whatever.
the diverticulitis when he was hunting in Winnipeg there, yeah. Or in Manitoba, yeah. Not in Winnipeg, but yeah. I mean, he hunts a moose there, though. Seen the women? But it's, so they've got the, that story. Anyway, then they go to the ring, and of course, we referenced Jerry Lawler, Dr. Samson. Michael Samson was there. Brad Maddox brought, you know, the WWE doctor in to give him an examination, and he said he's not hurt, and of course he's going, "How dare you, sir?" And then Paul Heyman, or then CM Punk comes out, and Paul Heyman runs away through the crowd. Beautiful old school angle. I could very much picture Bobby Heenan doing this.
Oh yeah.
I loved it. Popped great for it. I thought it was a tremendous angle all around. So old school that I thought that was great.
I mean, the question is, what's the bigger money? Hey, you're going to see this guy get beat up for sure?
Yeah.
Or the baby phase needs to overcome and get past this deadly assassin that he has for him, and you don't know, but he's going to fight his and you're going to see a great match and fight his heart out to get to him.
Both can work.
Yeah, both can work.
And so, what you've got and what they think they've got, what they don't actually have, but what they think they've got is they think they've got that underdog story with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So then CM Punk is doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're guaranteeing you that Paul Heyman will get the shit beat out of him on this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And don't know if they're putting it out there for red herrings, but Heyman is probably said to take some time off after this pay-per-view. So essentially that's what you're getting. I had speculated all along that I figured this is when a new Paul Heyman guy would make his debut to save him in order to sort of keep that going.
Yeah.
But it's perhaps maybe the end of it. I mean, I don't know. But,
it's possible, yeah. If Heyman takes some time off, Curtis Axel is fucked.
I think a lot of Raw, 3 hours of Raw is fucked.
Well, we're, as an audience, we're fucked, for sure.
Yeah, for...
Because we lose that half hour a week that he's entertaining us.
I was just about to say 15 minutes, half an hour a week. That, yeah, exactly. So
we're fucked as an audience, but Curtis Axel is fucked, too, as far as...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
he'll start to be treated like a typical IC champion.
Yes, so exactly.
He'll be a guy, loser.
Yeah, Wade Barrett, that. I mean, who hasn't been on in a while. But
not since he shaved the...
Well, he had a couple matches after that with Daniel Bryan.
That's pretty weird. That's within the last month, then.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Rotate people in and out. But Goldust.
Yes.
Oh, Goldust. Awesome. They... Three or four times during the show, they said, Randy Orton's going to fight Dustin Reynolds Goldust tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to a video package of Goldust.
Yeah.
You know, winning the Intercontinental title, you know, fighting Razor Ramon, beating all that. Then the next time they go, they do a bunch of stuff. They go to his entertaining side with Booker T for a vignette. They really showcased Goldust like a big deal.
Like, well, they did with RVD before they turned him into just another guy.
When you talk about what WWE does
did
well,
even that one night that they did the World Champion versus WWE Champion,
yes,
and showed the different the
packages
super champions.
Of the champions. Yes,
yeah.
This is something WWE does very well, and they did do a good job with this as Goldust. And Renee Young got a pop for being back in Toronto.
Yeah,
and interviewed Goldust, who anybody that watched the, what's not called the Score anymore, whatever it's called now,
Sportsnet 360.
But watched the Score and that aftermath.
Already
so,
was Sportsnet 1.
Yeah, they're Rogers Sportsnet 1. But after watching the aftermath show,
they decided
Sportsnet
720 would be stupid.
It would be stupid. But after watching that, after Renee Paquette, Renee Young, always. Big fan of Goldust. She'd always mention that. I want to see Goldust back. I love Goldust. Why isn't Goldust on TV? Da, 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 da. So for her to interview Goldust, you know, that was popped huge for her, like it did with her mom. But, and Goldust got a great promo. I was the screw up of the family, blah, blah, blah. Hunter come in, just, you know, added the pressure on. Goldust like, oh, fuck. Then they had the match. Crowd was hot for Goldust. Goldust started out as a house of fire, and then... They had a bit of a rest spot.
It was the Randy Orton match, right?
It was. But yes and no, the crowd was hot for it when Goldust hit Crossroads.
Which is part of the Randy Orton match.
Yes. But when Goldust hit Crossroads, tremendous pop, great part of the, it was a great match.
Yeah.
And it, you're right, it was the Randy Orton match, but you can't have it with absolutely everybody. You can have it with Christian. You can have it with, you know, guys like that.
Yeah.
You can have it with Goldust. And he did it.
Yeah.
And he did it. Yeah,
yeah,
and
no, that's
great.
Fine, right?
And it was great. And so, and then Stephanie rubs it in to Goldust back. I assume, I hope, and this is the part with the good and the bad. Great segment, great crowd reaction, great storytelling again. But, you know, again, what you're doing, I'll tell this from my own personal perspective, is that me personally, I want Daniel Bryan to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and this booking doesn't do that because this booking, I mean, I look at it now, you got Randy Orton's got Daniel Bryan he can keep going with, then he's got Cody, he's got the Big Show. Like, they're just lining guys up for Randy Orton until John Cena gets back.
Yeah.
You know, and so Daniel Bryan is just the first.
Yes.
You know, and where he should be the guy.
Yeah.
And instead, Randy Orton is the guy. And going to be the guy. I don't know this for sure.
They see John Cena as the guy, and Randy Orton is the...
Yeah, the next guy, yeah.
He's the, you know, but he's the heel champion in between.
But that's what you've got three guys already lined up for him while you're waiting for Cena to come back.
I think you go to the Big Show next, and then you go to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, me too, but...
It is kind of interesting. I mean, it's interesting for Cody. And what are they... Number one, I didn't see this. But hearing this and reading about this and everything, my first thought is I hope they don't do, several years ago you had Kurt Angle where he's facing a bunch of different guys. He faced Tatanka. He got a great reaction and had a terrific match.
Yes.
But it was the nostalgia pop and Kurt Angle that carried the match.
Right.
And they made the mistake of hiring Tatanka when he was really past his prime and wasn't able to do anything for them.
Yeah.
And do you think they're going to look at this and go, oh, we got to hire Dustin Runnels. We got to get, you know, Cody or Goldust back in. Or do they know what it is this time?
I think they know what it is. Goldust got a great pop when we were in Phoenix at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
I think they kind of know what they got with Goldust in terms of a guy that they... I mean, if anything, you hire Dustin to go to Florida.
Yeah.
You know, and train guys.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the hell if you got Billy Gunn teaching guys to wrestle.
Yeah, no,
you know, but... It, that, to me, is his role in a guy that, yeah, like, you can bring, we talked about JR, how they kept bringing JR back. Goldust is a guy you can have on payroll doing that you can bring in.
Well, he's not on payroll, but...
No, he could be. I mean, if they hired him, he could be a guy on payroll that you bring back whenever you need a nostalgia-type pop. I mean, the thing is, they hired Booker, they hired Nash, I mean, all off on those things. They have a history of doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think they will for him.
Yeah. What the fuck is up with Booker? Like, is it just that they've decided they have to use him, but they don't know what to do with him, so they just make him do stupid shit?
Well, he's a polite guy. Hey, mind if I holler at you?
I don't mind if you holler.
No.
I mean, I'm not requesting it.
No.
Why? I don't mind, though.
Is that you, Velvet Sky?
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought Randy Orton was great at, by the way, the final segment with Big Show. And they've got that new deal now where they've got the mics turned up on the outside of the ring cameras.
Yeah.
Like what Heyman did when he's like, I love you, I fathered you. And that same thing, Randy Orton's like, he's the COO, I'm the face of the company, and he's just getting in Big Show's face and like, you ball up that fist and you punch the hell out of Daniel Bryan because I told you to do, because he told you to do. When we tell you to do something, you fucking do it, basically. He didn't say, you know.
And that's the funny thing, though, because they're turning it up. Somebody's going to drop a few F-bombs. It's going to start happening.
And it'll be Randy. But great intensity. Well, you see, but I mean, and, because that, I mean, how that, I was watching before you got here, Rex Ryan, on the sidelines of the Jets, and that's all you could see is, what the fuck are you fucking talking about? And they're on him. Like, you don't have the audio, but
no.
You don't need the audio.
You don't need the audio when you can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so then, and then Daniel Bryan gets his, gets the kick, right? That running knee that he beat Cena with.
Yeah, so he actually gets that in, and I don't know what they're calling it, the high knee, or...
He's not the booty man.
Oh.
But yeah, Randy Orton was great.
Benoni?
In that, maybe, yeah. Yeah, Phil Benoni. But, I don't know. I don't know.
So, Randy Orton, actually, John Cena actually, or not John Cena, Daniel Bryan actually gets over on Randy Orton.
And on SmackDown he does as well.
Which means he's definitely not winning.
That's, yes, exactly. That's the fuck-fuckity-fuck-fucking-fuckity part of it.
How big a pop is Cody going to get? I think next week it has to be Dusty in there, don't you?
I love that idea, yes. A promo by Dusty?
Forget a promo. Here's what you do. You bring Dusty out there, and he starts cutting a promo. He just starts. He doesn't get very far in, as great as he is. He doesn't get very far in. And I don't care if it's Vince or Hunter or Stephanie or all three of them or whatever. It doesn't matter. I think just Triple H will be funner. Fine.
Yeah.
He comes to the ring and says, you know, I know you want to talk, but it's fine. You don't have to plead your heart out. You can get Cody his job back. I don't mind.
Yeah.
We gave Dustin a chance. But my father-in-law, Vince, you might remember, we haven't seen it in a while, but he had a very exclusive club. That'll get heat. If they're making Dusty kiss, if Hunter's making Dusty kiss his ass to get Cody's job back, that will get heat.
That would get heat. I don't know, but PG.
I don't think it matters.
I don't know that they would do that.
He doesn't have to have a thong on like fucking Vince did. He can just be kissing his actual ass in his pants still. Like, it doesn't have to be as graphic as I've gone.
That's true.
You know, like, and it doesn't even matter. It's still what it is. Or you don't have to show it. You can imply that he has it down and not even show it.
I think he has to wear the polka dots while he does it.
Actually, if he pulled down his pants and had polka dots,
that actually, yes.
That would get more great heat.
I'd pop. But
but it'd be funny, but it would also, you know, like this would be an effective use of this. And yeah, so that's what I would do.
It's like the song says, you're just a common man.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that would be good. I want to hear Dusty cut a heartfelt promo though first.
Sure. You know what? You could do, depends on how long they're going to keep Cody away, they can have Dusty cut the promo this week, have him back the next week, and say, we heard your promo. You're right. He can have a job back.
I think you do it all in one segment. Maybe two segments.
You can have it over 2 weeks, though.
I think you have an opening and closing, in that opening you do it, and closing is you give him the whole show. Is he going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, give him the whole show. Think about it. We'll come back out later.
Well, you could even do him do it, and then have Hunter come out and say, you can have your job if next week you do this. And we had an entire week of, and on the website, is he going to do it?
But does that bring Cody out right away then?
I don't know. It depends on how long he's going to be away
because
for.
If he needs
to be away for two more shows, then that's fine. I think the longer he's away, the longer you can push this out, the more effective it's going to be.
Of course, but they don't do that.
I know.
If you think they should go Big Show Cody, I think they're going to go Cody Big Show. Because in their mind, it's a bigger star. And I think what you do is, you give him the whole show to think about it. He's about, the Hunter's turned around and getting ready to pucker up. Cody hops the rail.
Yeah.
Punches Hunter.
And then Hunter gets him back so he can beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
And that's your thing. So, I don't know. But, I mean, they could also do some screwy finish and continue the Daniel Bryan thing, too. It just seems like they're going in multiple directions.
Yeah. Which I usually am a fan of.
But
the thing is, you say they like this show. I mean, and the crowd is there. The crowd's having a good time, but the crowd is having a good time regardless how good the show is. Isn't it almost like they're there to entertain themselves?
Well,
it's
not
the product that's entertaining them. They're there to entertain themselves. If the product helps, that's great. But if it doesn't, that's how I felt when we saw the show here in Calgary a few months ago.
Right.
You know?
I looked at it, though, is that
right?
Where the crowd helped, right?
Right.
Is, like, for the bullshit. Like, would Fandango come out, and everybody's singing along and do the Fandango. That made that part entertaining.
And you're booing the Miz.
Yeah. That made that part entertaining.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas the stuff
that's
like...
the stuff that's unbearable.
Yeah. And so that made it entertaining. So that's what made it overall, I think, a good show to watch.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan against Dean Ambrose, which is a good match. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Bray Wyatt being Dolph Ziggler.
Mm.
You know, clean.
Mm-hmm.
With Sister Abigail. Right in the middle of the ring to I didn't realize that Matt Hardy dyed his hair blonde. But apparently
that is
the case. Why don't you talk about Dolph Ziggler?
Basically he cut a little interview. I can't recall where it was, but he talked about basically he wants attention.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, you know, he's like, I've been there for a long time. I can't get past this level. I don't know what I need to do to get to the next level. The crowd's reacted to me in the right way, and yet I can't sustain anything, and I'm getting... He basically sounds like a guy who's getting really, really frustrated.
Yeah.
And so, and he's mentioned Randy Orton in this again, saying, you know, I don't think the crowd wants somebody who's because they're tall like Randy Orton, which makes you go, okay, is this an angle they're setting up, or is he legitimately frustrated? And it becomes a little bit difficult. The lines are a little blurred here.
Well,
so,
yes, and look who... I mean, look at who one of Dolph Ziggler's best friends in the company is. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so he's looking at a guy that built his career on the internet, you know, as short-lived as it was. If see what Dolph Ziggler...
The thing is, this is an interview. I think it was for, like, England or something like that.
Yeah.
The thing is, WWE doesn't let a guy even do an interview like this generally unless they're there. Which makes me think that if this is getting out there, and he also did some tweet about Randy Orton,
yeah,
that they worked into the storyline, is it all storyline or not? Now, I can't tell.
Well, and I think that's what Dolph is going for.
Yeah,
I think he's legitimately frustrated. He's able to shoot this way and say, "I'm just working, brother."
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so,
but he really sounds like he's fucking happy.
Well, he is. I mean, why wouldn't he? Because he's a guy that, you're right, the crowd, he said, the crowd reaction the right way. I mean, if he's going to go into business for himself and do this, I mean, and the whole reason to do all this, Dolph Ziggler, or Zack Ryder proved the point.
Yeah.
In that you build this character, you get this thing over, but as soon as they don't want it to happen, it doesn't happen. It
doesn't happen.
And so, that's
a Dolph. And I know that they're probably thinking to themselves, oh, you know, he had all this momentum as a heel, gave him the title, then he got screwed over for the title, and he didn't sustain it as the babyface push. It's him who didn't get over. We did everything we could. He was over. He's less over. That's him. Not realizing that it's actually their fucking booking that made him like this.
Yes. And
their writing and their, you know.
And Dolph, I mean, Dolph's whole thing that I think he's given up on is that his whole thing was like, all he needs is a shot.
Yeah.
And my
basically he's saying that again.
And my talent will shine. And that's
but it sounds like
the easiest way to be frustrated, because you have to realize is that, yes, you're talented, but and probably more talented than some of the guys on the roster. I won't say everybody, because they have a really talented roster, and that's the point, is that they've got a whole roster of talented people.
Yeah.
And Dolph Ziggler, while a very good character, someone that I think could sustain a push done correctly, isn't, you know... They're not clamoring for guys. You're talking about, will Cody surpass Dolph? And if he does, great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? They don't need Dolph Ziggler.
No.
And Dolph Ziggler needs them more than they need him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he just seems like he's, like, had enough. He's frustrated. He's like, I don't know what I need to do. I don't even know anymore. Like, you know, fuck you guys. Like, give me my
he
shot. You haven't really...
Sounds like Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
And that's probably what he'll become.
It could be, yeah.
You know.
It's very possible. He also mentioned in this how they're tested more than the NCAA and how the PA, how it's hard to do your job 280 days a year and not...
But,
you know, how they're the best athletes in the world because they can. And
All
this bullshit about the drug testing.
Yeah, and meanwhile, on Friday SmackDown, he fights Dean Ambrose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's clean.
Uh-huh.
God, Dean Ambrose looks like a friggin', how long has he been around? 9 months on the roster?
Yeah, much bigger.
A little bit of a transformation there,
exactly.
Now he doesn't have he's got the sleeveless,
He's jacked right up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's certainly into that bullshit. So, what other notes you got, or anything else you want to talk about the Night of Champions? Like I said, I can't get into it because, ultimately, I know the Heyman and Punk thing is going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
But here's my problem. I like Heyman too much to want to see him really beat up.
I don't.
Like I know it'll be entertaining.
That's why
I
want to see it. It'll be
entertaining, but I'm not clamoring for it. Like the thing they want you to go with, I fucking hate this guy so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking pay to see him get his ass kicked. And I don't feel that way because I'm like, this guy's great. He's going to get beat up and it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's not like I got to see it because it's like, it was great because it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's not like I got to see it because I hate him.
I agree.
And that's the failure. Plus, I have the sense that Daniel Bryan and Orton will be a really good match, but I've seen it multiple times, and I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to win, and I don't really appreciate the way they booked this heading into it. So I'm kind of... it's only a two-match show.
It is.
I mean, it's only...
it's a five-match show.
Five-match show.
Six-match show,
but at this point, you know, all the belts except for a couple.
Well, let's pause on Raw 2.9 rating, but more importantly, that was
pretty good considering games.
3.88 million. Well, I mean, the rate, as I said to you, I think you said, you know, you were predicting
2.6,
and I said, you know, what are you predicting
more
for?
You mind if I have another?
Oh yeah, I have another one.
Go ahead and talk loudly. I will mute my microphone and go get an additional beverage because your house is fucking hot.
Well, just over here, we were talking about how it wasn't very hot, but anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But then here it is. But we said we were texting in terms of what do you think the rating is going to be, and I've kind of gone beyond or away kind of got away from the 2.9 rating, and I'm more sort of interested in the number of sort of how many million people are watching the show, because to me that, you know, the rating is just a percentage of televisions watching. I want to know how many people are watching it, and they can get a kind of a gauge of up and down and such like that. But it was 3.88 million watching Raw on Monday, which was down slightly, but from Labor Day, I think was 3.9 million, and now they're 3.88, 3.9 something, and now 3.8 something. So they're down from Labor Day, which of course was down from the 4.1 the week before. But to me, that's, you know, when you've got a 300,000, you know, viewer swing, you know,
I guess when you're going against football, yes.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, I mean, Labor Day isn't a huge rated day either.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So I was looking at the 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
They were at that 4 million mark. So
okay.
They're sitting at just a couple hundred thousand.
First off,
swing. That's not bad. Yeah, so crack your beverage there.
My favorite sound ever.
Oh, I thought the preparation of food was your favorite sound.
Num, 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 num.
Yeah. Your Big Mac is ready, sir. I thought that was your favorite sound.
It's a tie.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly because they call you Sir. Sir Mo. Sir Mo. Looking more like King Mabel, but still. Or Aunt Mabel, another one. But, yeah, I think the rating, anyway, that's just the point. The rating's holding fairly steady. This, again, the not losing viewers, gaining viewers for the Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton segment, so there still is, that's still driving interest on the show from what they're... Like there is, for the first time in probably 3 years, there's been visible patterns. Because even CM Punk, when he was hot, he wasn't moving ratings.
No.
This is the first time, I said 3 years, it's probably more like 6 years, where there's a visible movement. Actually, The Rock did. But no, that doesn't count. But the first time that they've created an angle or a story, really, that's moved ratings visible.
So on Sunday they should have that guy lose.
Oh, definitely, yeah. No, that makes the most sense. That's good for business.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that's the thing. So we'll get to Night of Champions here now. You mentioned it's six matches. It's, you know, that they've got. I don't know if they'll add anything. Ryback beating up some guy or something. Who knows? But
Ambrose and Ziggler they could add, right? That's the one that seems obvious. Though they had a match on
SmackDown.
I thought
they announced that.
They had a
pay-per-view.
I don't recall.
I thought Hunter announced it when he was making fun of everybody on that SmackDown Miz TV thing.
It's possible. I mean, he could have been like Hulk Hogan and announced it when it actually didn't book.
That's happening tonight at Night of Champions?
Yeah.
But no, I just think that, I mean, you've got, you said it's a two-match show.
Yeah.
And really... It's a one-match, one-angle show.
Yeah.
When it's not the match, it's that everyone wants to see Heyman get the fuck beat out of him,
yeah,
is the point. You're going to have a great match on top. I think there's no doubt of that.
This should be a really good match.
The wrong guy's going to win, of course.
It seems that way.
It's just, I don't know.
If the right guy wins, I don't have any trust that they're going to do it right. And, you know, they won't, I don't know. I guess it's, the thing about it for me is, it's Night of Champions. We know it's a big pay-per-view. But good lord, it feels like a B pay-per-view. Like
it is a B pay-per-view.
It is.
When you say it's a big pay-per-view, it's not.
No, I said a B pay-per-view.
You said it feels like a
B pay-per-view.
Oh, because
it's
is
not a big pay-per-view.
Okay.
It feels like a B pay-per-view. I mean, this good lord, we know it's a B pay-per-view, but it really feels like one.
Yeah, this is in your house, Night of Champions.
This is. Well, it's like if they do what 13, 14 events a year, or 10, or whatever it is.
I think they're doing 13.
13. This feels like the 13th most important, or 12th most important.
Yeah, 13th is coming up, Battleground.
Well, that's it. Like, It's really
is that really necessary?
Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of the point, though, is that this is, you know, we know about the post SummerSlam is always a bit of a lull, and theoretically we'd be into Daniel Bryan enough to get past that. And like you say, he's doing good in the ratings, and they're not missing John Cena ratings wise.
No,
but I think that's kind of it. It's just this is one of those pay per views. It's like, if I miss this, am I missing anything? Like, am I missing anything? No. If I'm missing SummerSlam, am I missing something? Maybe. You know, if I'm missing Royal Rumble, am I missing something? For sure.
Yeah.
TLC, am I missing something? I think so. Am I missing something on Night of Champions or Battlegrounds? No. And that's a lot of what they're fighting.
Plus,
NFL is back. You're in your second week, and, you know.
And it's a Sunday, and plus you're going
right
up.
After Mayweather.
Mayweather and Alvarez. You've got,
Alvarez?
I had no. Yeah, Brian Alvarez is fighting Floyd Mayweather.
No, he isn't.
Yeah.
No, it's Canelo.
Huh?
He's a Mexican.
Oh, it's
Canelo.
No.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I watched the 24/7. The 24/7 opens up with Alvarez there. How's it going, everybody?
All right.
But I think that it's coming the day after that massive pay-per-view show. It's coming. Head-to-head with Total Divas.
Yeah.
So that's going to take away, like, what, 8 viewers?
Maybe.
See?
The ratings being down like they were last week. Well, not really bad ratings, really, when you look at it. It's just, you lost 500,000 viewers because you didn't have the lead-in of the Kardashians.
Yeah, the Kardashians are in reruns, and so that's, as I said, the power of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
So it's, that's basically their base of people that are going to care about this show.
Yeah.
So the big finale is a part one finale of Natty and TJ's wedding coming, where Natty just looks like a major cunt because she invited Jared from Subway. Jared there to be at the wedding.
Well, Jared, do you think he was there at that Heart Legacy Wrestling with? Do you think it would have been one of the guys walking around?
Yeah, probably.
Probably
was, yeah. I actually, you know what? I think I saw him.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
I've seen him with the
guy sitting?
I think he might have been.
Remember we were like, what's that guy doing? He wasn't doing commentary, but he was like sitting at the table?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, actually, I'm almost positive now, yeah. Anyway, but that's the whole thing. It's it's all obviously a work. So,
what?
But at least
fuck you.
At least
Total Divas is a work.
At least TJ gets a backbone.
That's true.
Where he's like, well, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, I'm mad. Why are you being? I'm pissed off. That's why.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah.
So that's good. Back in the ring.
He had a match in Montreal.
Match in Montreal. He's got some.
I don't know. His Twitter has said for the longest time, over a year now, current Tecmo status injured. I'm wondering if we go to his Twitter right now, what it'll say.
I don't know.
Go to it.
What is it? At Tyson Kidd?
I don't know. We follow him, don't we?
No, we don't fucking follow him.
I was a couple times. I've clicked on it. So we follow him.
I know. Then
and
I
naturally,
him.
We get unfollowing.
Yeah, because we're not marks.
Like AJ?
Exactly.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd. He's not going to be. I am curious as to whether or not he's saying current Tecmo status. What his Tecmo Bowl. Status would
be. Good.
Good. Current technical status.
Good.
Okay, so what happens with him? Does he get any bump because he's in this Total Divas?
I'm just going to read his tweet.
Okay.
What a good guy at WWE Road Dog is. Reading a book, learning Canadian history from a book Smith Hart gave us as a gift. I want to see the book Smith Hart gave them.
That'd probably pop up.
Where's Waldo? Oh, it's just the book Canada. And there's, Road Dog Sheamus isn't. Oh no, that's what's his name? Sami Zayn there.
Oh, Sami Zayn, he'll be up soon. It looks like he'll be up. He may be.
Well,
up
he's already on the road right now. He's doing.
But he's
those
not
shows.
Obviously on TV yet, but we could see him. He should be on TV very soon. So, anyways, what do you do with Tyson Kidd? What do you think they're gonna do?
Nothing.
No.
No.
You know, team? Do you team with Gabriel again, maybe, or do you? Like anything?
That's what I would do. is...
How about Evan Bourne? I'm not saying with Tyson Kidd. I'm just wondering if you brought in AJ Styles. Could he play Evan Bourne's older brother?
Could he play what?
Evan Bourne's older brother.
Tyson Kidd?
AJ Styles.
Oh, AJ Styles. Why? No.
Why not?
Because they don't give a fuck about Evan Bourne.
Oh. Also, keep in mind, if they're not really brothers, they don't like to pretend they are.
That's right. That's right. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins.
Yeah.
Can't fucking fool us, Major Brothers, my ass. Speaking of Major.
Yeah.
You hear about Lee Major.
The Rock is considering being in a Fall Guy movie.
Yeah.
WWE would co-produce.
WWE Films.
Their first product
movie, together. Yeah.
That'd be interesting. We'll see if it ever happens.
Yeah. So.
You're looking at a story right now on women with wrestling implants being banned in Louisiana.
In Louisiana, the site of WrestleMania.
No, that leaves nobody. Like, I mean, like, that, I don't think there's
AJ.
I think she has implants.
What about, do you really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Huh.
I think she does.
Wow. Anyway, the rule will be limited
to... Some implants are just perfect.
Okay, well, the commission is now saying that the rule will be limited only to boxing and MMA. And not for pro wrestling, because the WWE legal team was unaware of the law and contacted the commission today and said, by the way, motherfuckers,
all of our divas have implants.
And we're trying to be hosting WrestleMania in your fucking little state there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't know if you know this, but 75 cities of bid for the next three WrestleManias, we will go there,
yes.
You stupid cocks.
That's actually an exact quote. I don't know. How did you...
I listened to the audio of the phone call earlier.
Wait, while you're there, I think there's another notice. What is that thing about Kurt Angle?
Oh, Kurt's out of rehab.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
good for Kurt.
Oh, that was good.
Good for Kurt. He's already out of rehab.
He's all right, then.
He's a box of fluffy ducks.
Oh.
Yeah. Good for Kurt Angle.
Good for him.
You know, he's done a lot of hard work, and you got to give him credit for that, really, right?
Yeah.
You really do.
What time is it? Is Impact over? Do we have an update on what occurred here?
On Gimpact? I believe we do have a...
No Surrender?
Yes, it was No Sir Motherfucking Render. We watched Austin Aries against AJ Styles not click in their match.
No.
That AJ Styles won. And then we watched Magnus beat Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
So
this is the semifinals of the Bound for Glory tournament. So this leads the finals at the main event of the show here to be Brutus Magnus versus AJ Styles. So the winner to face Bully Ray or Ken Anderson, if Ken Anderson wins the title tonight, at Bound for Glory against the champion Bully Ray or, like I say, Ken Anderson. Really not a hot crowd. Like Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan, you know, and there's St. Louis. He came out and crowd, they cheered when his music was playing a little bit, and then just died. And so very much not a good sign for TNA, this is a city they've had bad, because they've been in St. Louis before. Maybe it's because they've had, you know, some bad performances there in the past, or just because they're not a big product. I don't really know. I just know that it was looking pretty pathetic from a TV perspective.
A blindfold match in a cage killed St. Louis.
Yeah,
whatever that
was
5 years ago.
Yeah, they did that match there, and that was awful. That's right, Rude and Storm. Storm, Harris.
Storm and Braden Walker.
Braden Walker and Christopher Harris, yeah. So what did happen tonight? I don't really care about anything else except for what happened with Bully and Ken Anderson, what happened with the main event of Magnus and Styles or whatever.
I just want to mention this one segment.
Yeah.
Hogan is in the locker room where he's telling T.J. Perkins, he doesn't have the mask on, that he's doing a great job.
Probably from behind, though, because he doesn't have to show his face anymore. Because he already did.
Yeah.
Because he's manic.
And TJ says, that's why he wants Jeff Hardy in the ring.
Ah.
Hogan says, you got it. Then the cunt comes in and says, tells TJ to leave so he can have
one of those.
That was Dixie Carter.
Oh, okay.
Bellator attorney sent TNA a letter to tell them that Rampage Jackson and Tito Ortiz have both been pulled from TNA.
For how long?
I don't know. Hogan says that's great. He's tired of Tito Ortiz and his drama, and a deal with them is done.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes. Yes. Brother.
Get the fuck out. Is that an angle? Is that real?
I don't know. What's, we're going to keep. We're going to read on. Maybe we'll see there.
That's. What?
We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen.
Like, I can't even. I know. The level well, of fuck up that
yeah,
is.
I know. Well, we
real.
Haven't read all the results yet, so we'll see. I mean, this would have been your. This would have been. Had we watched, like, the next segment, that's what it would have been, Ed, and that's what you would have seen. Anyway, Bully Ray beats the fuck out of Ken Anderson, wins that match.
Okay.
I guess somebody's, I think, bloody. Anderson is bloody and da 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 da.
Yeah, it's the last man standing.
Last man standing, right, yeah. Great brawl, yada, yada, yada. Oh, next week, No Surrender continues.
Oh, I know. Remember how Hardcore Justice was
that's
now?
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
ODB challenges Mickey James.
Okay.
Well,
it is better than the... I mean, that's one reason to watch TNA over WWE is the work has never been... like. As much as we say Natty's a good worker, Natalia, the work has never been in the ring worse than what I've seen the last few months in the WWE.
Yeah.
With the Divas, whereas the Knockouts, the small division, their women's wrestling is generally really quite good.
Yeah.
That's one reason to watch them. So.
No, that's... Okay, well, here we go.
Wait. What happened?
What?
Now for Glory Series Finals. What happened?
Well, that's where I'm going. Just AJ won.
Okay.
AJ won, so, and yeah, that's, let's see here, right way to do it, Magnus looks like he wants to die, looks defeated.
He was defeated. He lost the match. You're welcome.
AJ Styles gets the microphone and says he told us he would do it, he did it right here in St. Louis, he told fans he could have done it without them. And he got a response, and we got a lot of response from what he said a few weeks ago. Oh, he couldn't have done it without them. He got a lot of response from what he said a couple weeks ago. One person he didn't get a call, text, or tweet from was Dixie Carter. AJ tells Dixie to get her secretary to remind her to show up next week because he's talked about a lot of mistakes that have been made around here, and he's about to bust the biggest mistake of all when he sees Dixie next week.
So this will be where he announces that he only has a couple months left in his contract, but he's going to be win the title at Bound for Glory, and they're gonna copycat CM fucking Punk.
Yes.
Fuck's sakes.
Yeah. Badly.
And I can't even like the level of that the fuck up on this Rampage Tito thing now, as it appears if there's any semblance of truth on this, and there probably is.
Yeah, it looks like they're just drizzopping them.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan did an interview this week.
Yes,
and,
he did.
I have a lot of notes from it.
Oh, do you?
But I know you had to let your dog out. Do you need to let him back in here and then we'll go through this?
Go through it and then I'll let him in.
There's quite a few of them here. So
oh,
sure?
Okay. Yeah, because I'll probably stop listening.
Well,
it's Hogan.
It is Hulk Hogan. It's the Hulk Hogan. What is the segment called?
The Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the Week. Week.
Well, he got a promo here, interview, so there's multiple bullshit this week. So anyway. All right. I don't know what the best way to do this is. Do you
just
want me to
it.
Just read them out to you and you'll say
bullshit.
This comment or you'll
yeah,
say
yeah,
if
yeah.
it's bullshit or the truth?
Okay.
So
yeah.
I'll say these as Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, bullshit or Ron Killings.
Yes. So Hulk Hogan, bullshit or Ron Killings is the game we're about to play.
I'll say
them as Hulk Hogan.
All right. Okay, brother. So I was watching TNA. I saw TNA Impact on the TV, dude. And I said to myself, brother, I like that, right? So I gave Dixie a call because she got me excited about being back in the industry, dude.
Yeah, that's, what do you call that, bullshit?
And why is that bullshit? Yeah, well, A, it would involve Hulk Hogan watching TNA, which he doesn't do now, let alone when he's not working for the company. Yeah, he's asking for Dixie Carter's phone number, you know, sitting back there watching TNA and whatever. How? When was that, 2008 or 9? Yeah, so
whatever.
Like that. Yeah, he didn't know who Dixie Carter was.
Yeah.
Then, so, yeah.
If anything, they contacted Eric Bischoff first to let him know. If anything.
If anything, Eric contacted.
Yeah, exactly. So he said,
well, dude, we'd all sit in a meeting, eh? Dude, and we'd all sit in there and we'd agree on the direction, brother. And then I'd go out there and I'd see the TV, brother. And you know what? The direction would be completely different, dude, than what they said it was going to be, brother.
Yeah, that's probably true. Vince Russo was booking.
Do you think they agreed on a direction, he watched the TV afterwards, and then he found out, oh, this is not what we're going to do?
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's possible.
I think there's the wrong killings.
There's the wrong killings there. They asked him what the youngsters are with the most potential. He said, you know, there's two dudes, I think to myself, brother, those brothers have a good shot, dude.
Sting and Kurt Angle?
No, Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles. By the way, both are 36 years old.
Yes.
The two youngsters that he sees the most potential in, AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, I think Hardy's actually 38.
Could be. 38 and 36.
He's never kissed a girl.
Yeah, so bullshit or truth? Unfortunately, the problem is...
I think that's Ron Killings.
Yeah, that's
Hulk Hogan, Ron Killings.
And that's what's scary.
Yes.
I wonder if you said to him right now, tell me five current guys in the WWE roster if he could.
No, he couldn't.
He'd know John Cena or Randy Orton, probably, right?
I think he'd know John Cena, Randy Orton. He would know... He'd probably know who CM Punk is.
I think he might know who CM Punk is, yeah.
And then
he might... Do you think he knows RVD's back there?
Yeah, maybe. And then he would know the Big Show.
He would know the Big Show. So he could name five.
Yeah.
But could he name anybody who's really, like... He doesn't know what Daniel Bryan is. Or Alberto Del Rio.
No.
Or... Curtis Axel, for that matter.
Yeah.
He knows who Harry Smith is. Looks familiar.
Yeah, you look familiar, brother.
Says, dude, I'm not involved in creative, brother.
Yeah, bullshit. Well, no, actually, that's Ron Killings, because what he's involved in isn't creative. So he's telling the truth there.
But he says that in the booking and the direction of the company, that, yeah, he said that they're not at all. He's not at all involved in that. So that's he's the guy who decided, like, oh, hey, Bobby Roode's going to win the title? Oh, no, let's not do that. And let's do. He's very involved in the creative direction of this company.
I wouldn't say that he's very involved.
He's very involved in those few things he gives a shit about.
He wants to be Vince. He wants everybody else to do the work and him to look at it and go, that doesn't work for me, brother.
But really, that's what Eric Bischoff is doing.
Yeah, but they're still bringing it to him.
Yeah.
But they're not bringing... He's not sitting in the meetings coming up with shit. He's,
oh, God, no.
No, but he's getting the final...
But to say he doesn't have any involvement...
Well, no, that's complete bullshit.
You're going to go let the dog in. And so while you do that, I'm going to fill time by singing Jive Soul Bro.
Okay.
And I met this lady, and I told her... I'm going to sing it as Bob Dylan. I met this lady, told her kind of story, saying, so you wonder forevermore. The problem is I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. I'm a jive soul, bro. It's Bob Dylan singing. Why are you coming back so slowly? Please hurry up and get in your chair. Jive soul, bro. And we're always talking to my friend.
We can edit that, right?
That's my worst Bob Dylan ever. I can actually do a good one.
Hmm.
The answer, my friend. I can't tonight, though.
No.
It's
like Toll Booth Willie.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Another thing, they asked him about Tito and Rampage being in there.
Yeah.
And he said, this is a good thing, brother. These guys, brother, they've been in ads. They've been in world title matches. They've been on TV, dude. But you know what, brother? I think they can be like Brock Lesnar, brother. I think they could really get a mainstream crossover appeal, brother, and get us some real eyeballs, brother. You know what, dude? I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
He never answered the question about whether or not they've been good for ratings,
right?
But he was positive about it. So what do you think on that?
I think it doesn't matter because Bellator lawyers
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, when they're having a match November, whatever, 6th or something, right? Or 2nd or early November is the Bellator pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
So so they're going to have a match, right?
Yeah.
And so, but, I mean.
Wait, hold on. I see an update about Kurt Angle.
Oh. What is that? Yeah, 9:57. Kurt's back in rehab.
No shit.
Huh. That lasted longer than I thought, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got problems, so he's going to get him taken care of.
Well,
that's important.
He hit a patch of ice.
He did. That's what's important, though. I mean, he was in Florida, and he hit some ice. You know what, though? In all seriousness, if he's got problems, it's best that Kurt's back in rehab.
Back in the rehab.
Yeah. But
he didn't say no. He said, I'm going to go.
Yeah, exactly. But I think...
And he called your mom a ho-ho-ho.
Rehab. You're drunk. You're drunk. Popping pills now. You're drunk.
All right, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, the thing is, in all seriousness, with Tito and Rampage, I mean, they could have come up with a better way of doing it than what they did.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But, I mean, they got a pay-per-view in a month.
Yeah.
You know, so...
So maybe don't do it in the first place if you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
No, but Bellator, so they got to train for a fight. So they got to be off
TV.
No, but they do. They have to be off TV. I know it's Rampage, but still, I mean...
It's one night every 2 weeks.
Well, I realize that, but...
And one of the things I can say for this, so far in October,
yep.
They only have 2 house shows booked.
Yes, that's right. Did you hear where they had a house show booked at?
Something like Des Moines, Iowa or something like that, and 500 people showed up.
No, yeah, but do you know where they actually had a building
rented?
Yeah,
they had 18,000 feet or somewhere rented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superhero-like fashion. They had the Kemper
Arena. Yeah, for 18,000.
TNA.
Yeah.
For a house show.
Like I say, the most recent house show, the number I have, 500 people that attended. About 4,000 people will attend the WWE one, meaning that while their ratings are one-third of the WWE, the true measure of how popular they are is about one-eighth of the WWE.
I don't know if that's necessarily a true...
You're right. It's nowhere near that much.
...measure. I look at pay-per-views, right? And as now, pay-per-views kind of replaced the house shows when the Monday Night Wars and competitive television kind of came out, and you look at if they're getting 10,000 buys or 25,000 buys, you know, to a 200,000 buy, yeah, they're 1/8. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to help when you have like this Final Four tonight and you have AJ winning it. But Jeff Hardy, who was your champion last year and is your most popular guy, the only guy who sells any tickets, any merchandise, moves anything in the ratings at all.
Yeah.
You know, he's
buried.
He's buried, yeah.
He's not using them.
They're not using him at all.
I don't know
he's not
why.
In the Final Four, he's not, yeah. So, I don't know.
They need to figure out a way.
In Mexico, they're advertising, they're going head-to-head with CMLL in one of their big nights, and they're advertising the superstars that's appearing in Mexico. One of the people they aren't advertising is Sin Cara for the WWE. I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, they said, you said superstars.
Well, over there, theoretically, that's where he would be. Right, back to Hulk Hogan. So, again, he said, dude, he goes,
brother,
it takes 10 years to develop a character, brother.
Oh, fuck.
So that's an old quote, actually, from Eric.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Eric's deal. You need 10 years of television time for people. Now, when Eric said it, and where Hogan's mimicking and copying it, is they're saying it as a hard and fast rule. You have to, right?
Yeah.
I agree that it generally takes about, say, that long.
Characters can get hot quicker than that, right?
Well, they can, and that's what I'm saying. That's why it's not a hard and fast rule. I mean, I look at, and I don't think it's necessarily the time or a situation now, but I also look at, I mean, best examples I can think of, Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Buisvich, Shawn Michaels. These guys that started in tag teams and moved their way up through the ranks, Intercontinental World, and all of that. And yeah, from I mean, from WrestleMania 2 in 1986, fast forward 6 years later to 1992, where Bret Hart's beating Ric Flair for the title.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's
totally different time.
He was, what was he, 8.5 years in the WWF when he won his first world title.
Yeah, totally different time. Yeah.
Different time, though.
You know.
Different situations.
Shawn Michaels, same situation, you know, debuting in say, like, 88, 89. Boyhood Dream comes through in 96.
How long had Hogan been in the, when in 1984 he wins his first world title, he hadn't been wrestling 10 years yet. I think he debuted in, what, 77?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And really, I mean, yeah, I
well,
mean,
84 is when he won the title, so that's 7 years.
Yeah, that'd be
you know, again, different time,
different
though.
Different time, though. Like, right now, I mean...
Edge
I mean,
is probably the last example.
Edge
right?
would be the last example of this being true, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Well, even a CM Punk, I go, it's, what, 2006 when he showed up? 2007?
Six, when they brought back ECW, right?
ECW, so we're looking at 7 years for him, and it's only it took probably 6 years for him to reach the level he's at now. And in 4 years, will he be a bigger star than now? Probably. So looking at that, I can understand what they're saying. Same with John Cena.
But it was really 5 years in 2011 when AJ's about to copy happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, you know, that's 5 years. That's last time. Daniel Bryan.
A great example.
You know, how long has he been?
I don't know, but he's already a bigger star than Big Show.
When
he's
was,
a bigger star right now than Big
yeah.
Show.
When was Nexus?
3 years ago?
Was it... Did it go... Was it Nexus... Yeah, okay, pretty 4 years or three, 4 years ago?
I think three.
Three, you're right, it was three.
Because it was here, wasn't it? We was here, we watched the SummerSlam.
Yeah, yeah, we watched it here, yeah. So it would have been 3 years ago then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it's just bullshit. I'm sick and tired of hearing a line like that. That's an excuse. And you know what? Even then, basically, since TNA's been around now, just over 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many stars have you...
And Joe, AJ, and...
I mean, all the guys in the Final Four were at least their guys.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mania 8. They asked him why Flair Hogan never happened. He said, I'm not sure, brother. We were building up to it for a while, dude. And they were selling out all the shows leading up to it, brother. And then, last second, it wasn't my call, dude. It was a business decision, I guess. They decided not to do with it, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Well, I agree in part that it wasn't Hogan's call.
That's true.
It wasn't drawn. They sold out the first loop.
Yes.
And then when they came back, they didn't.
Not even close.
And... That there was a couple of things that happened there. A, they got cold feet on that match. B, they saw Sid as the guy. I love this. Hogan and WWF are being indicted for steroids or investigated for steroids. So
yes.
Hogan's about to step away
yeah.
from the limelight with the Zahorian thing. And their big thing was, we can make Sid the new Hogan.
Yeah, because he was clean.
Yeah, exactly. So they decided to do that. Then
like Dean Ambrose.
Hogan leaves. In that match, and who did they bring? Warrior.
Warrior.
Right? So, I mean...
But a much smaller version
well,
of Warrior.
Actually
where I...
Airbrush
abs.
That's true. That actually part was true.
They had,
it was
they had Ryback in the ring versus RVD.
Oh. Fuck, was that awful.
Can you tell them apart with their...
And RVD gets his ass kicked.
Yes. But he'll win the title.
Yeah.
No, probably won't.
No, but I do like, speaking of, we were talking about the 90s, the sort of that 95, 96
yeah.
Level, and I like that they've brought back that that raffle that they have where
mm-hmm.
a fan can accompany a superstar to the ring, because there was some guy with RVD on Monday.
Oh, the one announcing him, yeah. I think he probably, he paid for a charity or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he won a contest or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
must
fucking
be.
Awful.
Yes, it is. He's Hulk Hogan said, my favorite porno of all time to work with, brother.
Oh, I think Randy. Favorite porno of all time.
My favorite porno of all time.
Mine, brother.
Love his wife, brother.
Yeah.
But other than that, my favorite porno of all time, brother. You know who that was, dude? It was Randy Savage.
Of course it was. Because he's dead and beloved and can't defend himself.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's Hulk putting himself over as a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, after when Randy Savage died, and, you know, you heard that, well, Randy, that's heavy, dude, and, you know, sitting there, and, you know, and I'm sure he does feel, you know, I mean, he feels something for the loss of Randy Savage. They were friends at some point, right?
Yeah.
But
remember, his thing was, oh, we made up right beforehand. He made sure to really let everybody know that, even though that was the bullshit.
Yeah, of that week. And I mean, it's again, Randy Savage now, because the memory of Andre the Giant is so far away.
Yeah. And the last thing he said, and I have something else on Savage here in my notes, but he says, dude,
if I could have worked with anybody, brother, the two people I wish I could have worked with, Jeff Hardy and Steve Austin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that's Ron Killings there.
Half of it's
Ron Killings. I mean, I think it's all Ron Killings, because he looks at Jeff Hardy as TNA's biggest star.
Maybe.
And so Hogan wanted to work with the biggest star.
Maybe, though it looks like he's going to work with both Bully Ray.
He could beat them.
Yeah, that's true. Does he look at him and think he would do for me what Shawn Michaels did? In other words, blow him up and make him look like a moron by doing all this cartoonish selling?
Jeff Hardy, no.
Yeah.
No, because Jeff Hardy, yeah, no, he...
Lenny Poffo has stated here...
I heard this.
He believes that Randy Savage should go in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They may put him in, but if they don't think the entire Poffo family
should be
there, he said they should still induct Randy. He gives them their blessing, but he said, I won't be there to accept it.
Right. And
he does think that Jimmy Hart should
do it. Jimmy Hart should do it, because he credits Jimmy Hart with getting Randy Savage to
WWF.
Yeah, both of them, the WWF. Yeah. So, and I mean, you could have Randy's, you know, you could have Randy's wife, you know, accept it. I mean, who knows? But you should. Yeah, actually, you have Lex Luger accept it. Then.
Okay. Well, that's the only way he'll ever get in the WWE Hall of Fame.
What?
Fucking idiot.
I love Lex Luger.
He's not getting in.
Oh, not now.
Mick Foley is no longer allowed to dress like a slob. He has to wear a suit now everywhere he goes.
Why?
They've told him he has to look. He has to adhere to the WWE dress code from here on out. He's always had an exception because his gimmick was that he was, you know, Mankind, the slob, the whatever.
He doesn't have that anymore. When he's at WWF, I hope. Events.
I don't know how far this extends.
Yeah.
But
I
don't know. No, I know exactly how far that extends.
Idaho?
1.1 inches.
Hmm? Miles.
Oh, 1.1.
Pubic meters?
I was trying to think of the name. Who was that chick? She was on Tough Enough, and her last name was Miles, and she was the dominatrix with the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was...
What was her name?
Shaniqua.
Shaniqua Miles? Is that it?
No,
what was her actual name? Something Miles.
Linda Miles.
Linda Miles.
Yeah, that's Shaniqua was her Basham name.
Shaniqua.
Yeah. Where did he come out, and she almost beat the... She almost killed Ivory or something,
and
Jim Cornette was like... Jumping up and down like, this is the worst woman, sent her home, told her she couldn't do it, and then John Laurinaitis calls him and said, yeah, we want that Linda Miles brought up to television right away.
Yeah. Fucking idiot. David Kreitzman, who was the head writer.
That's right, we talked about him.
He officially is gone now.
Yes.
Like, we talked about how they convinced him to stick around for a little while.
We talked about him quitting, I think, just before around Mania,
yeah.
And that he would agree to stick around to see the stories
out
through
SummerSlam. But he's no longer actually there, so... I don't know who is the head writer now. Does anybody know? Do they have one?
I don't know if they even have one. I mean, I don't know. I mean, especially right now with the main angle revolving around Vince and Hunter and you know, Dan O'Brien and all that. I'm sure they're fucking doing it mostly themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then you talk about, I'm sure Punk and Heyman and them have such a huge influence on that angle. I mean, the and then you got the Total Divas writers are basically running the women's stuff now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like...
And it's sucked ever since. What coincidence.
Yeah. Well, what do you need? I mean, so do you even need a writer at this point?
I mean,
you got a couple guys, you probably got 20 guys that are writing for, like, fucking Damian Sandow and shit, right?
It's another interesting thing.
That would explain, though, if they don't have a head writer, that would explain why they do seem to be a little bit all over the place with Randy Orton has the Big Show, Randy Orton has Cody, Randy Orton has Daniel Bryan, like all at once here, kind of overlapping. That you know, that continuity should be so important if you want to go all the way, and they don't have that right now. That could be the lack of a head writer.
I went all the way.
Hmm? Really?
$20.
Hmm. Well, that's what you paid her.
No, that's how much change I got back from the 25 I gave her.
Ah, perfect. Hmm. Perfect. Did you put Pop Rocks in your mouth, too?
So here's an interesting note. We talked about Zima Ion a while ago, how he's fired from TNA when he was working in the backstage. And,
who?
Zima Ion.
No, Jesse Sorensen.
Oh.
Was fired working backstage.
Wasn't Zima Ion fired also? Anyways, he's back in the ring. Zima Ion's back in the ring.
Yeah.
So it's not just
Zima Ion is the guy that, when he had some minor surgery, then all of a sudden they found, like, a tumor.
Yes.
And shit,
and they
yeah.
still, he had to pay for it himself, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, he's back in the TNA ring.
Oh, he's in a TNA ring.
Yeah, he's at a match again.
Huh.
He's back.
On their house show.
Yeah, he was in a triple threat match for the X Division title on a house show.
Oh, which they don't need to do anymore.
Yeah, they don't do those anymore, remember?
Yeah. Well, no, they do them. They don't have to do them.
No, they said that it's only, Hulk Hogan said every TNA title, X Division title match from now on will be one-on-one the way it's meant to be, brother.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
They really, you know, they kind of
I see there's a note, something being sent to us. I think Kurt Angle sent this himself. What does it say?
At Kurt Angle here.
Yeah.
Oh, good for Kurt. He's out of rehab.
Oh, he's better.
He's all better.
That's awesome.
Good for Kurt.
Oh, he doesn't have to move.
Oh, we're so happy for him.
Yeah.
Oh, move.
I see there's... Do we want to pick it up there? Is fake DDP calling in?
Is that him?
Yeah, it is.
Skype. All right, let's pick it.
I'll just call him back, actually, because we missed that call.
Oh.
So, just give me a second.
Okay. Singing an 80s pop song over there? Disco lady.
And that's it. Hey, fake DDP, what's up? Why are you talking?
I am unstoppable, Mo.
You are.
I have got a product for you.
One you made just for me?
I made this just for you.
Oh, is it like handsome guy t-shirts or something like that? Or what's it called?
Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay, I got
it. So I'm talking to my buddy Arthur Gorman.
Who?
Arthur Gorman. Let me tell you a little bit about Arthur Gorman. Retired parasailor, Mo. Retired paratrooper, Mo.
Yeah.
Jumping on that plane, he got to be up to 694 pounds.
Uh-huh.
He come to me, he did not even see his neck.
694, I think that's fat.
A lot.
How much of that was meat?
DDP yoga. It's not your mother's yoga.
Oh, yeah, DDP
yoga. DDP yoga. He now weighs 21 pounds.
Really? That's quite a...
I thought...
And at the one point, he weighed almost as much as Hulk Hogan said Andre Blade when he slammed him.
He did. You know it, brother. He did. Now, Mo,
yeah.
We all know... that you are a fat fuck.
What?
I'm and you are my inspiration.
Pounds.
Now, I used to have YRG.
Yes, it was yoga for regular
guys. Yoga for regular guys.
That's right.
Do you know who Kurt Bell is?
No.
He does. DDP yoga, not your mama's yoga. Kurt Pellegrino, Batman, does DDP
Batman.
Yoga. I thought, Mo, I would give you...
Like Shawn Michaels.
A shot. Shawn Michaels. Chris Jericho, okay? Chris Jericho owes... He saw Paige. He says, I thought this was for women. And I did this. I owe my WWE comeback. To YRG, to DDP yoga, not your mama's yoga. That's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Scott Hall doing DDP yoga.
Yeah.
god awful.
And so is Scott Pellegrino?
Kurt Pellegrino.
Ah.
Batman. Jake Roberts. Okay, Jake Roberts comes to me, and it's like, Jake Roberts is so drunk, he can't even touch his toes, all right?
Yeah.
But then Jake Roberts is all of a sudden doing DDP yoga.
That's
not your mama's yoga.
Arthur Gorman already dropped from 695 pounds, which I think is fat. To 21 pounds.
So then I got to think
then?
He wasn't even close to being a fat fuck like you, Mo.
Oh.
I thought if Arthur Gorman can do, and in his tremendous success story, Arthur Gorman, you can check it out at ddpyoga.com.
Uh-huh.
Arthur Gorman,
uh-huh.
Just go, hit me up, send me an email. You know, just hit me. Just tell me what your phone number is, okay?
You'll get back to him?
And I'll call them.
Yeah, so okay.
And
so
nobody
if I were to go
does
on Twitter,
that.
For instance, if I go on Twitter and I say, I want to talk to you about DDP yoga, what do you say?
I say, what's your phone number? And then I call them.
They don't
okay.
think you're going to.
Personally. No, nobody ever thinks you're the DDP. He's just that guy, right, from Nitro, the star of Nitro, and all of a sudden, now you see your phone rings, and it's DDP. It's like, hey, this is Paige. And most
yeah.
people are like, what the fuck? I didn't think you'd actually call me. But no, I pick up the phone, and I personally call each and every one of the people that give me their phone number.
Yeah.
And that's what I did with Arthur Gorman.
Uh-huh.
Retired parasailor.
Paratrooper.
Him, too. But I looked at him, 694 pounds, down to 21, using DDP yoga,
yeah.
and I said, that was my...
You're trying
that,
to say I should do DDP yoga.
No. No.
Well,
Mo.
Don't think it'd work
I
for me?
I thought Arthur Gorman was my greatest challenge.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I thought, Jake Roberts, right? Jake Roberts comes live with me. This is Jake Roberts, the Snake Man.
Yeah.
And I thought, now he's sober. Thanks to DDP Yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and if you go ddp.com,
uh-huh.
you can see the success story. You can go on YouTube. You can look at the videos.
Yeah, yeah.
You can hear the stories
yeah.
about Nitro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know. Macho Man Randy Savage,
uh-huh.
right? 1997 PWI Feud of the Year, right?
Yes.
But if you go and you go on my website, you can see all the where I talk all about the behind the scenes stuff, okay?
Yeah.
That was going on for the 1997
yeah.
Feud of the Year, right? Going on, me and Savage, all that.
Why did
the
you call again?
I'm glad you asked, Mo.
Ah, fuck.
I looked. Arthur Gorman, 694 pounds, down to 21, my biggest. Then I met you.
Yeah?
Mo, you are a fat fuck.
You said that before.
It's true. I don't know. I gotta get it. So, you were my inspiration now, because
uh-huh.
I've been thinking about this for years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been racking my brain for years. I met you 3 years ago. I've been racking my brain. How do I get Mo to be like Arthur?
Yes.
And I thought, DDP Yoga YRG, just not going to cut it.
What?
I came up with Super YRG. I call it FFY.
FFY.
Okay? Yes. For you, Moga. Fat Fuck Yoga. This is the solution to your
FFY.
FFY.
Oh my god. Created just for.
Just
I inspired FFY.
FFY. Created for Mo. Okay. It's,
oh my god.
It's not your mama's yoga.
Oh, it's fat guy's yoga.
Although, Mo, I let your mom feel the bang. Okay.
Okay. I'm cutting you off.
I just want to say FFY, go to DDP.com. You're going to see that. You give me your phone number. I'll call you. There's recipes for gluten-free pizza.
What the hell is that?
All right, I'll let you go, Mo. Hit me up. Fat Fuck Yoga.
Thanks, DDP. You know, I never feel better about myself after we get off the conversation with DDP.
It's just food, Mo. It's not love.
But I love it. I love food. And myself.
We had fried chicken today.
Yeah.
I felt like Slick.
He did eat it in that video.
Remember the video?
Yes.
Awesome.
I remember the picture we had.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
So there was somebody else that we were thinking
Speaking
about calling.
Speaking of Slick, did you know that just yesterday was Akeem and the Big Boss Man Appreciation Day? In appreciation, that was the day that Akeem and the Big Boss Man, I believe, anyway, I don't know for certain, but I believe it's the day that Akeem and the Big Boss Man broke up as a tag team. Is that correct?
So,
you just texted me and told me that 9/11 was the day the Twin Towers fell.
So I have a couple Twitter questions, and we can get to those.
We could, yeah.
Or we could just talk to that other guy on the phone if you want.
Well, let's do a Twitter question, and then, then I'll call his mom back.
Okay, yeah, his mom's calling up.
Somebody called his mom.
Bad Ben asks us, TNA or WWE, and more WWE because they're more important.
Yes.
Doesn't currently have an anti-hero that we can look to. Is that something they're desperately missing?
I believe they could use an uncle hero, but I don't know about an anti-hero.
Mm.
What do you think?
More of an anti-freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at Steve Austin.
I do.
That anti-hero character. There hasn't been a lot of them. In fact, the thing about an anti-hero character is, no, they don't have one, because I don't think they know what one is. Like, I don't know if you asked me to give you a definition of an anti-hero, I can give you a verbal definition of an anti-hero.
I think to a certain degree, the NWO were anti-heroes.
To a certain degree, yeah.
Paula Nash, the Outsiders.
Yeah.
You know.
They're more the cool heels than the anti-heroes. Steve Austin was the anti-hero because I guess he went against authority, but he himself wasn't a good guy.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what an anti-hero is. And no, they certainly don't have that. The closest might have been
Punk.
Well, I was thinking Orton when he was a babyface, sort of. But
yeah.
Even Punk is... Yeah, Punk, as soon as he becomes a babyface, he's pretty baby... He babyfaces himself quite a bit.
I don't think they need it yet.
I think it'd be nice to have one guy in the roster playing that role to see if it works and see if he can get momentum.
Not yet. Things again, you talk about... I look
it's been a long time since Austin's been around.
I look at sociological patterns, though, and I don't think that that it's quite there yet. I think it's going to happen in the next, say, 5 years that'll be a need. I mean, they come up... Right now, they're coming off the John Cena era, which is a bad version of Hulkamania. But again, it's what they needed at the time, was this PG, you know, Mattel toys, kids era. Because again, that's where the culture is more packed into.
Era, though. I mean, just because you have one anti-hero doesn't mean you're having an anti... He doesn't have to be giving middle fingers and what... You can be an anti-hero without doing that.
Well, you can. You can be a counter... cultured guy, and that's kind of what CM Punk is.
I suppose, yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, even when he come out and on in his the promo at one point, I'm not a nice guy. I don't wear a white hat.
Yeah.
Right. That was one of his 2011 promos where he was trying to do that. And even when he smacked The Rock, mm-hmm. right? All he did again was kind of. Changes character a little bit in terms of now he's a heel, but he kind of stayed the same. I don't know that you could, I don't know that an anti-hero, I don't know if they're ready for that yet.
Okay, I think probably about 2006, 2007, 2006 probably, I think it was, probably 2005 maybe. All those years ago, Samoa Joe was primed to be a great anti-hero. And they didn't quite book it in the right way. There was a point there when he was getting over. He was primed to be a great anti-hero. So
yeah.
He's the last guy who I thought, that's the right guy to really book this with. And, of course, that opportunity is long since passed.
And I don't know about an anti-hero
and
as
even
much
now,
as he was
a good guy.
As he was a badass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I suppose. But there was...
I know there was elements of it.
There was elements of it. He's the closest. And I think he's the last guy you really could have done that with properly. So...
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to do it. I mean, they tried to do it with John Cena, for instance. They tried to when they first turned him babyface after he was, his whole rapper gimmick and everything like that.
Yeah.
They would have him, he'd win the match, and then he'd turn on his tag team partner and give him the FU. and the crowd would boo it because it looked like a baby-faced mole. Like, they didn't understand that that was him trying to be Steve Austin. That was him trying to be the anti-hero.
The guy that gives a stunner to everyone,
just edit out, like, because he was on SmackDown at the time.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to do.
It's not, and you need the right... You need the right guy, and you need the right situation. Yeah, that's the bigger thing, is they don't have that foil either.
Yeah.
So, as I said, I just don't think they're ready yet.
Do you want to
give this guy a call? Should we preface who we're calling just before in terms of...
Buff.
Well, Buff Bagwell is returning to the ring after his car accident there in April.
Mm-hmm.
He's returning to the ring... where for World Wrestling Zone in Chicago, where he's going to defend World Wrestling, the WWZ Championship, or WWZ up here in Canada Championship, against the Serbian Submission Specialist C4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's give Buff a call.
Okay, I'll dial him up.
Oh, you want to dial? Okay. We got.
It's a trailer park, so we got him quickly.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Hey, Buff, how are you doing?
Is that you, Mo?
That's me, Buff. How's it going?
I'm doing quite well, Mo. Thank you very much for asking.
So I hear you're going to be back in the ring on Friday, tomorrow night.
Friday? I'm going to be in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on a program. I'm going to be on WWZ wrestling.
WWZ
wrestling.
Uh-huh. And who are you facing?
I will face C4.
Oh. What's his real name? Scott? Is it Scott?
I believe, no. I know Scott. I teamed with Scott Norton.
Uh-huh.
I teamed with Scott Steiner.
Uh-huh.
And I teamed with the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
I also teamed with Too Cold Scorpio.
Uh-huh.
Whose name is not Scott.
Really? What is it?
I don't know. I believe it's Flash.
Well, golly!
I could ask my mom, though.
Oh, Judy.
Judy? My mom, you know Judy?
Yeah. Well,
she was on a forklift.
She was on a forklift. Your wife's name, by the way, also Judy, I'd like to point out.
I'm from the South. It's actually the same woman.
Oh.
I married my mama. I love my mama so much.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't think of anybody else to marry but my mama. She was tag team champion.
Boy's best friend is his mother.
And she talked to my friend Mr. Jim Ross one time.
I remember
She called Mr. Jim Ross when I was too sick to have a wrestling match on SmackDown.
I was
on a program.
Called what?
Called SmackDown.
Oh,
called Thursday Night SmackDown.
Oh.
And I was the star of this program.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just too sick. I think I had some food poisoning.
Oh.
And so I had my mama, my wife. She called.
No, your mama.
Who's now my wife.
Oh, okay.
She called Mr. Ross and said, Mr. Ross, sir, Marcus, that some people call me Marcus.
Really?
Some people call me Buff. Some people call me Mr. Bagwell. And some people call me Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
I guess, and you probably know how long you've known them based on what they call you.
Some people call me the Handsome Stranger.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
When I was in Global Wrestling. I was on a program.
Okay. This is not really going anywhere, but you're going to be back in the ring tomorrow night.
I apologize.
On a program, I think it's tomorrow night. For WCW Friday Night Nitro, you're going to be in facing Scotty Four for the, you'll be defending your World Heavyweight title. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct, Mo.
Oh.
I was on a program called Monday Night Nitro.
Oh.
I was the star of this program.
Mm.
I used to wear big hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say I'm Buff. And I'm the stuff, you know. And I used to... Just flash the biceps, you know, give the smile, play to the camera, which is what they don't let you do in the WWF.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, you know, that Shane McMahon tells me, as I'm standing at the curtain, getting ready to come out, he looks at me and goes, whatever you do, don't play to the camera. Well, that's my whole act right there. I'm not a good wrestler. But I'm.
What was it your mother said to JR, by the way?
Said Marcus, he's just not well.
Oh, and what did JR? Because we talked earlier today about how friendly JR is behind the scenes. I guess he took that well and just said, you know, tell him to get better.
JR most certainly was not a good guy. He called my mother a cunt.
He also said that about your wife right here.
Mo. My mama is my wife.
Okay.
Her name is Judy.
Well, golly.
She's a former tag team champion. And I asked if
and her
said,
name was also Scott?
She said yes, and woo-wee! I was just the happiest man. Did she say
when it's time for her to accept your marriage proposal to your mom / wife, did she say I do, or did she say suey?
It was a combination of both.
All right. What did JR say? So finish
said,
that story,
said,
please.
Said,
so we can get
Bagwell,
off the stall.
He said, Ms. Bagwell, it's a pleasure talking to you, but you cunt. But next time your boy has something to say to me, he can pick up the phone and call him himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I never spoke to JR again
because you were fired.
Because I was fired from that program, Monday Night Nitro.
No, that was Raw.
Monday Night Raw, yes. Yes. I was on a program called Thursday Thunder.
Oh.
I was the star of this program.
Oh, okay. I'm cutting off. I think this is just going nowhere.
Well, Mo, I'd like to say that I am going to defend my WWZ championship against Steve-O.
WWZ.
It's my WWE championship against C4.
Okay.
In Chicago on Friday.
They allow you across state lines now, they do?
I am allowed to state lines. I am not allowed to take as much morphine as I used to.
Well, it would be impossible, wouldn't it?
I still like to take some, but not a lot. I'm on some right now. But I am going to defend this championship, and it's going to be the best match of the year. My comeback match, and
first time since April you've been in the ring, I guess.
It is the first time, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
And just like to say,
how's the body look? How are you?
I am buff, and I am the stuff. And some people know me. Other people know me as Marcus.
Some people call you that?
Some people do call me Marcus.
All right, I get up. Okay, yeah, I had
it's
enough.
It's just been a pleasure talking to you, Mo.
Okay, shut the fuck up and get off.
I will see you later. We had to cut him off.
Jesus Christ.
Man.
Oh. You know, we're going to get somebody else on it. This is dangerous for us to do this right now.
What?
Because, I mean, he just wouldn't shut up. And there's somebody else who's really, really long-winded, who occasionally will fill in on the show and just talks too long. But you know what? I know we've already gone a couple hours, but we just have to have this guy on because he has something. Joey has something he wants to say about that Marcus interview. Joey, what do you think of that interview?
Whoa.
Thanks, Joey.
I didn't think he'd ever shut up.
I know. He just keeps going. What's this about Kurt?
He's back in rehab.
He probably should be.
That's good. Good for him.
Quite honestly, in all of this, we never actually said anything about this. Kurt is out of rehab after.
No, we did. A few times.
The actual opinion on Mr. Angle, who's currently apparently back in rehab, but who knows? It's still, the night's not over yet. He could end up
out of rehab
before the night's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this might be
no, actually, Kurt is out of rehab now.
Yeah, it's his longest stint ever.
Yeah. I mean, no, seriously, he was in rehab for 2 weeks, so, you know, he's clean.
Yeah. The first rehab usually doesn't work. I wonder why.
Oh, yeah, I wonder why. Well, especially when you give it a chance like that.
Yeah. But
Hey, did you see the new OVW?
This will end badly, I fear.
Yes. Did you see who the new OVW champion is?
No.
Elijah Burke.
Oh.
So apparently he's back into wrestling.
Okay, not Hollywood anymore there.
No.
Do we have the NXT results here?
We can check. They're taping
that up. We do have one other... we did get one other question here on Twitter, and this one was same also from Big Ben, or Bad Ben. So I appreciate that. But he's wondering, and so you can tell me, do we want to get this, or do you find the NXT?
Pardon?
You find the NXT, or we want to get...
Well, I just want to mention, this is NXT, at the NXT taping, Triple H removed Dusty Rhodes as NXT general manager as part of the storyline where he hates the Rhodeses.
Oh, yeah.
Replaced him with JBL.
Ah.
And so they've been playing into that story. And Cassius Ohno worked the tapings.
Okay.
That's all. That's the notes we have.
He has been around for a while, so.
That is the note we have so far.
Of course, the former, what was his
name? Chris Hero.
Chris Hero, there.
Yeah. Has a big star that Mo couldn't remember the name.
Yeah. I really couldn't.
No.
But anyways, just kind of quickly here. On, what's this? Somebody else got a look?
Sami Zayn beat Bo Dallas.
Okay.
To win the title at first. Then, JBL, the new general manager, watched the replay, saw Dallas's leg was on the rope, ordered the match restarted, and Dallas rammed Zayn into an exposed turnbuckle for the win. So.
I understand in Montreal, where Zayn was there, that Bo Dallas was also there playing the heel role and was getting a really good heel reaction. Looks like they finally fully turned him heel down there in NXT.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
So that's what the crowd wanted. So, like I say, Bad Ben here has asked us, who do we consider to be the most influential performers on the current generation of wrestlers? So I guess the guys like Daniel Bryan,
right.
CM Punk, ADR,
Styles,
whatever, the current guys who are performing,
coming up, I think,
who are the guys who are their biggest influence on them?
I think Shawn Michaels is the obvious one there. I mean, you got to be thinking that we're talking about the current crop of stars. They're about 30 years old. Like, the tippy top guys are in
30 and 35.
Yeah.
Them, yeah.
So, I mean, you got to figure that that means if, let's just say they're 30 exactly, that means they were born in 1983.
Yeah.
Right? So, what you're growing up looking at as a kid, you're still seeing, you know, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels coming up. You're seeing, you know, the Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, I bet. We talk while he's in and out of rehab, but Kurt Angle probably a big influence on these guys too.
Yeah.
You know, in watching, because, you know, they're just probably getting into the business as Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels are having those matches, right? Getting trained as that's happening. So those are the guys that I would look at as Kurt Angle, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, those three. I mean, not Steve Austin.
I think Steve Austin's a guy that everybody watched, right? It's like,
yeah,
you know, you fast forward, you go back 10 years.
Triple H, Mankind.
Seriously, no.
Benoit.
Vince only has one daughter, so Triple H can't be that big of an influence.
Good point.
But I think I look back at, you know.
Jericho?
Nah. Maybe Eddie. And, yeah, if you want to look at Benoit, Eddie, you know, maybe Jericho. Some of those guys. I mean, I guess it depends. If you're watching Nitro,
yeah,
then that's what you're seeing. You're like in Rey Mysterio and Eddie, and especially
DDP.
Yeah, well, I think especially if you're...
Because we do see it is a smaller generation, so there's no question that...
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Smaller guys are probably influenced by guys like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and...
Well, again, I look back to if Bret Hart doesn't tell such good storylines in the ring... He doesn't last as champion. Shawn Michaels doesn't get a chance. You know what I mean? Like, Bret Hart opens the door for Shawn Michaels. So, and Bret Hart gets the door open because he's wrestling the Stampede wrestling style. So I just look at all the guys who kind of came out of there wrestling that style, the Dynamite Kid, and these guys, simply because these guys were elevated to a point where they were the main event matches eventually. You know, the Owen Harts, the Dynamite Kids, the Benoits. These guys were elevated to the point where they're main event stars for the biggest wrestling company in the world. Therefore, that's the wrestling company with the most influence. And therefore, and this generation, I just think
but
that style.
Say,
I mean, I think Bret Hart, ultimately, and Dynamite Kid are the two I look at.
But if you look at 6 degrees of separation, then maybe Dynamite Kid, if you're passing it down. Hell, you look at Randy Savage as a guy that was a smaller... to there, and then he's fighting Ric Flair, and then Ric Flair's losing Bret Hart.
By the time that Nitro's rolling around, he's like 285 pounds. Like
I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about if you follow
the guy that's in Spider-Man is not a little man.
No, but the guy in 1992 who's losing to Ric Flair, who allows than Ric Flair to be a smaller guy, losing
Ric Flair
to Bret
obviously
Hart,
has to be up there for
losing to Bret Hart, losing to Shawn Michaels. You know what I mean? Like, all of these guys, like Steve Austin, again, was kind of your medium-sized guy, like a Randy Savage,
yeah,
that could go with that. But
it's
if
not
you're
Ric
looking
Flair,
at,
it's not Ric Flair that opens the door for them. It's Bret Hart who opens the door for
that's
them.
That's what I said, Bret and Shawn. That's why I said Bret, Shawn, and Kurt are
I
the
think,
guys.
I think Shawn, as far as a performer that they watched that was amazed.
Yeah.
I think is the most influential. I think as far as the most important guy for opening the door so people saw Shawn, it's
was
Bret.
Bret Hart, sure. Bret and Shawn, yeah. I don't think Dynamite Kid has really anything to do with it for this generation. If anything, you're going to have Benoit, which is Dynamite.
Well, the thing is, when you say it doesn't have anything to do with it, again...
Well,
like
directly,
say,
I'm saying...
Directly,
influence.
No.
Who's
no.
the wrestler? If you
is
ask
there,
the guy on the roster,
watched, you're right.
who influenced you... Hardly anybody's going to see Dynamite Kid.
No, you said
right?
Angle. I would say Flair.
Yeah, Flair. Okay,
Flair,
yeah.
Flair, Michaels, maybe Angle, and certainly Bret Hart.
Like
I say.
Tyson.
Bret Hart is it opens the door. Shawn Michaels wows everybody once it's open.
Tyson Kidd might say Dynamite Kid, but that's a different. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah. Okay. Well, that's a.
Yeah, I think that you have to look at the guys who were on top at the most successful company in the world. That's in-ring style, like, who's
yeah.
most responsible for getting Daniel Bryan and Punk up there? I look at Flair, but also more so I look at Michaels, because he probably looked at him and went, I could do this, and Michaels got a shot because Bret Hart was successful. So,
yeah.
Successful enough to open the door, change the mindset. So, yeah, those are the guys.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Going back to storytelling instead of just,
yeah.
Yeah. Spots at the time. All right, I think we're OUT, aren't we?
I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else that we've got, so I think that's going to do it.
Anybody else wants to send us any more email questions? Where do they get hold of us and other shit?
Oh, what are we talking about? Addy, ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com?
Yeah. Twitter?
Twitter's at WeTalkWrestling. Yeah. Twitter at WeTalkWrestling. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling is also a great place where you can like the page and get updates on all of the...
I heard
get,
that.
Get things on all
how
the updates.
How
that's
many people
really
have liked
news.
It now?
Lots.
Wow.
A lot.
Uh-huh.
And we're
great.
Also WeTalkWrestling.com, which is also, yes, gluten-free on WeTalkWrestling.com.
Mm-hmm. But it does say at the bottom of our page, Moe's Fat.
Yes.
It doesn't
yes.
say Moe's a Fat Fuck.
We're
also.
A bastion of truth
it
on WeTalkWrestling.com.
It doesn't say Moe's a Fat Fuck.
Doesn't it? Oh.
He'll fix that.
We should fix that.
yeah.
But, yeah, lots of good stuff. That's where our shows and our blogs are there.
Uh-huh.
I have my 2013 Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame picks on WeTalkWrestling.com.
There you go.
So that's going to be a good read there. So go on and read that as well as all the show links there. iTunes. You can go on iTunes and get We Talk Wrestling and subscribe so all the shows automatically upload whenever we have a wonderful program.
Automatic.
And automatic.
Technology
yeah.
is wonderful.
I know, right? And also
Stitcher.
On Stitcher. Stitcher's a great deal for your mobile device as well. So lots of different ways you can get a hold of us. But, yeah, we love to hear your feedback and in any way you choose to give it. So I think that's going to do it for yet another week.
Yeah, good. Good.
So,
all right, good stuff.
So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Looks like Angle, he's out again, huh?
Kurt Angle's out of rehab. Well, good for him. Oh, wait, he's back in.